about.
Three, two, one. Transmission.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
All right. Let's begin again.
Kevin and,
Bean?
Yeah, yeah, we're new.
We never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses. So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
What are you talking about?
Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up the hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along.
What are you talking about?
I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Oh, good, Mike. Very smooth. Well done.
My
What's
bet.
The secret to comedy?
Timing.
Timing.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The FBI!
Roll another one.
What's up?
Just like the other one.
I'm not gonna copy that.
This one seems to be about to quit.
All right.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Yeah, Larry?
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Roll another one.
I drink your milkshake.
Just like the other one.
And you're pretty smart for a retard.
That. That's what I gotta say.
I've got to make sure that YouTube comes down to take this.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Just pass it around.
How about the basketball game?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Today, I'm so excited.
And now,
Kevin and Bean, your show is so much cooler when I'm high.
Our feature presentation.
Have we ever had a show, even one, where everything's gone smoothly? Where we've played everything properly, said everything properly, done everything properly, everything has worked, everybody has been here? Ever? One time?
I think so.
I do too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. In the 9+ years, I am guessing at least once everything worked properly.
Yes.
Smoothly. I certainly can't think of that time. That's for sure. All right, party people. It is Friday morning, and I guess by now it's got to be the 10th. Do you like fries with that?
Ding ba da da, ding ba da da, ding ba da da, ding ba da da.
Although someone will complain that we're making fun of retarded people.
I love that. That is one of my all-time favorites. We could do that the rest of the month. I would be on 7th Heaven.
1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. Let me give it to you again. If you want to be on the air, help us kick off the weekend. 1-800-520-1067. You give us a call, and we give you a prize. In fact, I think we've got an early call right now before we officially get into what it do.
Oh, guys, that joy, my friend.
Someone's partying early or late.
Pass it over to me.
K-Rex Kevin.
Do not bogart any of those joints, you selfish bastards.
K-Rex Kevin.
Pass them over to me.
You've been up all night, have you?
Huh? Hey, what's going on, people?
That would be our question to you.
Well, are we still starting at 5:30?
Last
sure.
I heard. We
yeah.
are.
I thought that was going to change at some point.
You thought 7:30, 8 o'clock would be more convenient for you?
You know,
8:30. What traffic's so bad at that time, Kevin?
Now, here's the critical time where Kevin has to decide what he's going to say, what his claim is going to be, because he's got a little bit of an out because he's been setting us up all week that he's getting sick.
Yes.
So theoretically, he could just say, oh, guys, I had it coming out of both ends all night long. It's a miracle I'm even alive, much less on my way to work. Or is he going
to
be honest?
I'd like to choose that one.
Or is he going to be honest and go, I don't know what's going on, but I overslept again?
No, it's I'm getting sick. But here's the funny thing. I have three alarms to make sure that I get up. I have one buzzer by my bed. I have music by my bed. Then I have an alarm in the bathroom that I have to get up and turn off.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that one sounds like that'd be the fail-safe.
Right, exactly, right? So, I know, right? So, I wake up this morning at about 5:15, and I start looking around, and I'm trying to figure out what went on. And I didn't set one of them. I didn't even set them.
Wow. Now that's an interesting move.
Didn't even. It's not like I'm going to try the whole. My alarm didn't go off, which I never buy, by the way.
Right.
But, yeah, not even set. Didn't even think of turning them on or perhaps setting a time when they would go off.
Well, that was now, the haze of sickness, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
I'll take that. That's good.
You guys are
giving me some good ones.
All right. So you're on the way, and we'll see you soon then.
Yeah, I'll be there about 5 minutes.
Fantastic. All right. See you soon. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin Means. What it do, nephew? Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Saturday, July 11th, we'll be here before you know it, and we are going to be up at Six Flags Magic Mountain for a free show, as you want to rock the mountain with us, with Amberlin and Metric, two pretty good bands, and you get to see them for free. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Nicole on Kevin and Bean's What to Do, Nephew. Hey, Nicole, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Popo's out, by the way.
Popo's out.
Wow, that's a flashback.
Anyway, so I buy a car last week, and I get laid off yesterday, and I'm really upset because I've been listening to you guys like for like years, and I've talked to Lisa before and Mike and Bean, and they think I'm crazy, but whatever. And I'm just really upset. I'm more upset that I'm not going to be able to listen to you guys in the morning than losing my job.
Why, you can't buy a radio?
Well, yeah, but I'll be asleep.
Well, she doesn't have to get up, yeah.
But you love us.
I know, I'm really sad. But I just want to say I love you guys, like, to pieces, and just so you know, like, you're awesome.
Nicole, you'll get another job.
I need to work with you guys. That would be amazing.
No, you are too crazy to work with us. I'm sorry.
You're K-Rock. I mean, ask anybody. I'm obsessed. I, like, know right. when your commercials are supposed to be on, and I know.
That's why we don't want you to work here, because you're too crazy. That's why. Hey, Nicole, you should check. Did you buy a new car or a used car?
No, it's a 2010.
Okay. You should check because some of the car dealers have a deal going, and they may not even have mentioned this at the time, but if you buy a car and lose your job within a certain period of time, they pay your car payments for a certain period of time. They advertise that on a lot of the commercials for some of the major brands.
Really? Even if I file for unemployment?
You'd have to get the specifics on that, but I do know that that is a selling point. You know, it's one of the ways they're trying to get people to buy cars, even though they may be, you know, worried about the economy and their jobs. But you should at least double check that, you know, whether that's available for your purchase or not, because I don't know which brands are doing it.
Awesome. Well,
okay.
Thank you. And
good luck.
Hope to hear you soon.
Thanks, Nicole. Take care.
Good luck. Get a job. Let's try Mike. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike. Good morning. What it do?
What it do, nephew? Lisa May.
Hi. What it do, Mike?
So a couple days ago, I bought the Eastbound and Down DVD set.
Mm-hmm. The HBO show, right?
How hilarious is that show?
I think
it's funny.
Really good.
Have you guys watch all the episodes?
I didn't watch all of them, but I watched like the first 5, I think.
I have not watched it.
For folks who don't, yeah.
It's pretty polarizing though, because I don't talk to anybody who says, that's pretty good. Either you absolutely despise that show and think it's the least funny thing ever, or you love it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, here's the thing. Danny McBride plays this character, this washed-up burnout who's a retired Major League Baseball player, and he is just an offensive tool. So if you don't enjoy spending a half an hour in the company of such an unlikable guy, you might not like the show. If you're fine with that, if you think that kind of behavior is funny, then I think you like the show. Would you agree with that, Mike?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I thought you were talking to me.
It's about drugs and just losing the fastball, and then he regains it.
That's right. And Will Ferrell, I think, is one of the producers or something. He's made a couple of cameos. It's definitely a funny show and worth checking out if you haven't seen Eastbound and Down yet. Thank you for the call. Hey, speaking of movies, Mike, before we go to Ignacio, Bruno?
Yeah.
Did you go?
Awesome.
You saw it last night?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's more uncomfortable than Borat.
Really?
Yeah. There are a lot of cringeworthy scenes.
That's great news.
But he, of course, you know, going against Sacha Baron Cohen is unbelievably brave, and it's just a courageous performance, and it's a bravura of comedy.
Awesome.
And it's probably also going to be the kind of movie that you either buy into that brand of comedy, or you don't. You love it, or it's not for you, right?
Oh yeah, and more so around the country, because I saw it in Burbank last night at a screening for, most of the people there were probably really into his style of comedy, and there were still people leaving the theaters that were shaking their heads.
Wow.
Like, I don't
really?
Know.
Did they
so
not know what they were getting into?
This is going to be another pretty divisive piece of entertainment.
Huh.
Yeah. Paula Abdul gets made fun of in the movie?
Paula Abdul does. She handles it pretty well, but there's a lot of celebrity cameos, and there's a lot of people from the Deep South that are going to be suing Sacha Baron Cohen.
Lawsuits begin.
Yeah.
All right, one more. Ignacio is on line two on the Kevin DeBean Show with a question many have asked on the long drive to Las Vegas. Hey, Ignacio, what's going on?
Hey, what'd he do?
What'd he do?
I have a question. We drove to Vegas last weekend, and every time we pass by this darn street sign, this XXYZ something something.
Zizix, right?
Zizix.
Zizix
no
is the street.
Zizix.
Yep, that's
Zizix. Yeah.
That question has bothered my mind, I don't know how many times on the way to Vegas.
It's weird.
Lisa, do you know? I at one point I had heard why it was named that and what the history was of that word, but I don't remember anymore. Do you remember?
I don't. I was hoping you would know. But isn't it the street that just has a phone booth, or used to anyway?
Yes, I don't think there's much on it.
So it's a street to nowhere.
Yeah, basically. That's what I think. As I recall, but
yeah, that's what it is though. It's Zizix. It's a legit road. It has been there for certainly as long as we have. So hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, dude. Thanks a lot for the call. On the Kevin DeBean Show today, everything but Kevin. Really, we got the internet roundup coming up in just a few minutes. We got some great stuff, including if you've not yet seen or heard the video of the people that are in Stockton, California, insisting that Michael Jackson, who's apparently the new Jesus, has made an appearance in their tree. Wait till you hear these people talking about it.
All right.
I mean, I don't know how drunk you have to be or how much you have to squint for that to look like Michael Jackson, but they are convinced that it is, in fact, Michael Jackson. Also, more details on the story that Ralph broke yesterday, that Keanu Reeves could be doing us all a favor, quitting acting to become a professional chef. We can only hope that's true.
Yeah.
UFC 100 is this weekend, and we'll talk to Dana White. That's going to be one of the big events of the year right there. They got a lot of great stuff planned for that.
Unbelievable card. Unbelievable card this weekend.
It is amazing. Our friend Adam Carolla stops by with This Week in Rage. For our Los Angeles listeners, we got a couple of grand prize drawings for you today, including we're giving away a brand new car today, which is that Kia, along with the free private concert for you and your friends for 3/11. We're going to be actually showing up at somebody's door today to give them that, and also the grand prize of what we've been doing for you all week long, which is you bring the killers to the Hollywood Bowl with your name on the ticket, the backstage passes, and the box seats, and the whole deal. We've got both of those grand prize drawings today, and we're going to catch up with the Kevin DeBean listener that I had dinner with in Finland, Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big fan of the show, listens to the podcasts every day for the last 2.5 years, and he and I have become email buddies over the last couple of years. And he said, hey, when you're in my town of Vaasa, Finland, which is on the west coast of Finland, let's get together. And I said, sure. So when I was in his town, we had dinner together.
He was kind of your tour guide too, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Showed me around.
Took me to the largest bridge in Finland, right. So, a rare Finnish Kevin and me listener is going to be joining us. That's coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. Plus, Ralph's got all the showbiz beat, and we'll do that next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:52. Sound good, right?
Anyone else there?
Hello? I'm here.
We're here.
There we go.
There we go.
All right, sorry. Can everyone hear everyone? Was I talking and you couldn't hear me?
No, yes. I was pushing a lot of wrong buttons.
Maybe coming in today wasn't the best idea
possible
for you.
It is possible.
Sometimes the universe has a way of speaking to us, and we just ignore it. We don't listen.
Yeah.
You have to open up your arms and allow the miracles of the universe to become real, Kevin.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Right.
When do we have that intervention where we take the controls away from Kevin, by the way? When do we force that to happen? It does need to happen at some point. I think everyone in the room knows that but Kevin, right?
Uh-huh. We can do it. And then Mike will do it. And then 3 days later, we'll go, okay, let's put Kevin back.
Kevin wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
Linkin Park, MGMT, Amberlin, and Because You Demanded It, yes, Dramarama. Next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's going on?
Congratulations to comedian Jim Carrey. He's about to become a grandfather.
What?
Really?
Yeah. People Magazine says that Jane Carrey, who is his daughter from his first marriage with his wife Melissa, is expecting a baby.
And what is she, 10?
No, I'm thinking she's 20.
How does he have a
kid that old?
21, yeah.
21. Because he got married young.
Huh. Yeah, and he's probably...
When he was 10?
He's in his 40s, right? So,
late 40s, yeah.
Yeah, so. You have a kid when you're 20-something, you got a chance of a grandkid. Hey, didn't Lightning talk to Jim Carrey about that on the red carpet when they got together that one time?
They
covered that, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much got all the answers about all of these questions.
How are you doing, Jim? Lightning from... Man, I was skinny and like this tall. I know. I've gained 30 pounds and now it's disgusting.
It's our favorite interview because he doesn't mic Jim Carrey.
Nor does he talk to Jim Carrey about anything regarding Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. Remember when you saw me last time? Look at me. Look, I'm fat now. Yeah, I know. I was this tall. I know. It's disgusting. Remember me when I was me? Back when it was me?
Still me, but less me.
That's me. More me. Me.
That was the best.
Yeah, he is. He's good. Not pregnant, however, is Raven Simone. Former Cosby Kid and star of That's So Raven. Rumor was going around on the internet that she was pregnant or had given birth, depending on which story you read. Neither is true. She performed last night at Six Flags Great Adventure in Jackson, New Jersey, and she is she's round, but not pregnant.
Right. Okay.
She's so not pregnant. Oscar Mayer's dead.
What?
Yeah. Oscar Mayer, who brought us the Oscar Mayer wiener, has passed away at the age of 95 years old.
Wow. What do we do now?
I don't know.
Does our baloney still have a first name, or is that changing
sure.
Now?
Yeah, you can still use the name. Here's the funny part. In his last wishes, he requested that no Wienermobile be present at his funeral. Because
really?
He was afraid that was going to happen when he went.
It would happen.
It would have, sure. They'd bring up the big hot dog mobile, and then...
Did he think so? Too cheesy? Was that his complaint, or why?
I guess he didn't want a Wienermobile at his funeral. Would you?
No, but it's part of his whole
Oscar
deal.
Mayer.
Yeah, I think the Wienermobile should be at all funerals. I would have liked to see it outside Staples Center the other day.
I want the In-N-Out truck at mine.
Ah, good call.
Remember at my wedding, I had the open bar before the ceremony even started?
Yes.
Yep.
Because I think that's the way you keep your guests happy.
That was the best.
I think at my funeral, I want to have the In-N-Out truck there so you can get a burger and stuff while you're waiting for the thing to kick off.
Great idea.
Yeah. Johnny Depp proves once again that he is one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. Apparently, he was filming this movie, Public Enemies, where he plays gangster John Dillinger. And he met a guy who had the actual badge of the sheriff who locked Dillinger up.
The real guy?
The guy who had the real badge
that
the sheriff was wearing when he locked up the original, the real John Dillinger.
Okay.
He offered the guy $10,000 for it. The guy turned him down flat. Then, apparently this guy's a big Dillinger file, kind of knows a lot about the gangster and knows the town where they were filming in, which is the actual town where Dillinger was from. He found out how nice Johnny was to all the people in town while they were filming. He changed his mind and sent him the badge as a gift for nothing, just as sort of a thank you and an attaboy.
Wow.
That's very nice.
Pretty good guy, I guess.
That's really cool.
It is cool. And it seems like Johnny Depp's one of the good guys in show business.
He is.
I'm a little worried that I didn't get a phone call. No one lets me know what's going on with my beloved Charlize.
Oh.
Charlize was in the hospital for 4 days.
For
did
what?
Did not know that.
I know Stuart's jealous of me, but I expected a phone call, you know, or something so I could visit her.
Sure, of course. You're in the loop. You're
give her some blood or whatever she needs.
Sure.
She had a very bad virus, apparently. Picked up a nasty virus overseas, and it got so bad she had to be hospitalized for 4 days at Cedars-Sinai.
Dude.
Apparently, she is now fully recovered and doing much better, but her boyfriend, Stuart Townsend, speed bump as I like to call him, said that he was really worried when she got sick because she never complains when she's sick. Mm-hmm. Isn't she just a perfect girl?
She really
she is. And she is, when she started complaining this time, he knew something was seriously wrong because she never complains when she's not feeling well.
Wow.
Imagine a woman who never complains. Can you imagine that? Just close your eyes for a second. See if you can visualize. I can't even visualize it. I can't even do it, even with my eyes
closed. She's not even real.
She's not.
I'd be nervous if I'm a celebrity going to the hospital these days. If I get a sniffle and I'm a celebrity, man, I'm worried about dropping dead the way it's been.
You know why? Summer of death.
It is the summer of death. That's a good point. You want to hear some sad news?
No.
Yes, sure.
Ryan Seacrest just wrapped up his new deal with the producers of American Idol to host the show for another 3 years.
Well, of course.
Yeah. He is. He made slightly less than $5 million this season for the hosting job.
Wow.
And apparently the new contract pays him even more.
Wow.
We'll make him the highest paid reality show host on television.
And he works even with the auditions that they film ahead of time. I think his whole schedule for Idol, Ralph, has got to be 6 months or less a year, right?
Yeah. And he's bad.
And he's bad.
We forgot about that.
There's that.
He's not good at what he does. But they're throwing him more money.
Wow.
Which is nice. And Jodie Foster is in negotiations to direct a new movie called The Beaver.
No, really?
All right, now
Jodie Foster directs The Beaver.
Lesbian porn?
No, sir. It is a story about a man who wears a beaver puppet on his hand that he treats as a real person.
Oh, so it's about
Bean. To Beaver.
What's that?
It's about Bean.
It's about Bean, yes. Yeah. Apparently, Steve Carell at one point was supposed to star in the film. Then Jim Carrey was also talking about starring in the film. Now it appears Mel Gibson stars in The Beaver.
Funny man Mel Gibson.
He can bring the comedy, can he?
He's The Beaver.
Yeah.
That's a weird choice. I still prefer him to Jim Carrey.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, Mel Gibson can be funny. Yeah. You see the man who could read women's brains, whatever the hell that
what
was
What women
called.
Want, right?
Yeah. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, he was real good. Yeah. They are changing the name of the movie, however, because Mel has joined the cast to the anti-Semitic Beaver. Apparently, the beaver puppet just yells at Jews all day.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
Which has changed the tone of the film considerably.
Just a bit.
These gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
Jodie Foster's directing The Beaver. Listen, if you're Jodie Foster, I think, is one of the most talented women in Hollywood. And by all accounts, just smart and kind and funny and just spectacular. I think she's a good director, too. I've seen several of her films. I think she's excellent.
Right.
But if you're Jodie Foster, and you know
of course.
What people know about you, and you know who you are and what you know about you,
sure.
Do you take on a project called The Beaver? Or are you just opening yourself up to public ridicule?
Guys, I'd love to do this, but if we could change the name,
right.
It'd make me more comfortable.
Can we change the kind of animal puppet he has on his hand? Why can't he have a parrot or an iguana or something? Can we just work together? Can't we all just get along in the final analysis? Today's celebrity birthdays. Peter DiStefano of Porno for Pyros is 44 years old today. Adrian Grenier from Entourage is 33 years old today. I've got a great Adrian Grenier story, by the way, in the next hour.
Awesome.
Not going to want to miss it. It's very, very funny. Thomas Ian Nicholas from American Pie is 29 years old today. And singer, actress, Jessica Simpson is 29 years old today.
I don't know that I'd give her either of those.
Well, she does sing.
Yeah, but poorly.
She does.
And she does act.
But poorly.
Right.
Well, she's in movies.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah.
All right. A set of boobs, Jessica Simpson.
There you
29
go.
29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
So what you're saying is rather than have a website that people can go to, we don't.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Amongst those choices, we don't. But we're still going to go ahead and highlight some videos that you used to be able to click on
back when the website worked.
Okay,
but can't I like now. It.
That doesn't seem helpful.
Yeah, not really.
So it's
and
time,
what's that called?
It's time for the Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
All right, today we are going to start with Hawk Jones.
Yes.
And I was not aware of this until Mike showed it to us, but it's pretty much a 1950s, 70s style cop show.
Yeah, exactly.
1950s, 70s, right?
50s or 70s. And it's all done by little kids. And they're talking about all adult stuff, but they're acting as if it's normal. So a 7-year-old talks about his ex-wife, you know, stuff like that.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty well done, as a matter of fact. And so the audio from that goes a little something.
I'll say it once and I'll say it again.
Like this.
Leave it to females to mess things up.
What's been our biggest problem?
My ex-wife.
Still don't like girls, huh, Hawk?
It's females like her who are gonna ruin this country.
Amen, brother. Amen. And they act with such earnestness, too. They play it completely straight. It's actually very, very funny if you want to see that.
You want a hug?
Just give me $2 and I'll give you a hug. I'll hug your baby for $1. You could afford it. You got a nice phone. I will not give you your money back. It's a non-money-back guarantee. I'm just trying to get a room for the night. I'm staying over the Four Seasons. Need to do 270 hugs to pay for a room there today. Okay, free for you. These are really, really good. And they're not as smelly as the hippie hugs.
This guy sets up deluxe hugs on the same quarter where somebody else has already got a sign that says free hugs.
Yeah, and right next to it.
He's charging $2 and apparently getting some pretty good business because, you know, it's worth paying $2 if the hug is especially good.
I know that you have seen Jackass, most of you.
Yes.
And they do stunts on there that seem like perhaps they're not the best idea.
Not for me.
This guy followed through on one of them and was launching bottle rockets from his butt. And that seems bad on all levels, right?
Yeah.
Somebody hold his legs back and somebody light it.
No,
I want to get his legs.
I want to see it.
I'll get his legs.
Don't move.
Okay.
You don't know.
So you got that.
Now, you're fine launching rockets out of your ass as long as the rockets take off.
Well,
the problem in that video is the one that doesn't. The one that just basically blows up on his naked butt.
No.
Even if they take off, there's a certain amount of, you know, fire that shoots out the back. Not a lot
of sparks,
Not a lot for bottle rockets, but so that's good times.
You got to see that, though. Seriously. It's one of the best fireworks videos you'll ever see.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't know if you've seen the Michael Jackson in a tree. Has anyone seen that?
No, he's
the new Jesus.
This is the, you know, people see Jesus everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They see him in trees. They see him in shadows.
Grilled
they see him in a window.
Sandwich,
a grilled cheese sandwich. They see him in toast. That one dude saw him in a toilet, but he went away when you flushed it. I mean, people are desperate. And, you know, and Bean doesn't believe in God. I do. But I also believe that if God was going to make himself known, he could do better than toast. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But now Michael Jackson is being put on that level. And people are having Michael Jackson sightings. And this particular family in Stockton, California, mm-hmm. has said that they have seen Michael Jackson in a tree trunk.
Was he not there? Tree trunks don't really change.
Of course he wasn't there. He's alive. And then once he's dead, now he can
now
show up.
Now he's in the tree trunk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I got goosebumps. But, yeah.
See Michael Jackson in the tree stump.
I did that.
No doubt in your mind that's Michael.
That's Michael.
I think it's, like, really Michael right there.
An image of the late king of pop popping right out of this birch tree stump. I'm standing with the man in the tree.
Michael Jackson meant more to us than maybe Jesus did to some people.
Yeah, that's great. That is great. I hope that woman has kids.
And I guarantee you she doesn't.
Michael Jackson meant more to us than Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that the people show up, want it so badly to look like Michael Jackson that they see Michael Jackson. If nobody else had pointed out to them, hey, this is Michael Jackson, they never even would have noticed it.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it at all.
Yeah.
And so they just buy it, you know, and just say that that's what they do.
This is weird. The hotline to heaven just went off on its own. I think we've got some sort of an incoming call, which doesn't happen very often.
Wow.
Can somebody call in?
I guess so. I didn't even know that.
Spooky.
Hello, Kevin and Bean here. Who's calling?
Jamo! Yeah!
Michael! Michael!
Michael Jackson!
Jamo!
How's it going in heaven?
Things are great up here.
All right.
You like it?
That's good news.
It's great. And I finally have fulfilled my fondest dreams of being very thin and very white. Because I'm a skeleton.
They give you that option?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So, obviously, you're calling now because you heard us doing the Internet Roundup. Those people in Central California that think you're showing up in a tree.
Yes, I love listening to you guys up here. Usually I stream on your website, but I can't find it today.
Well, the website's down.
Oh, okay.
But you like listening to our show?
Yes.
That's a shocker.
And that is me in the tree.
That's not really?
What?
Yes, I appeared there.
Why?
because I heard they were going to take that tree and make children's desks out of it in a grade school.
Come on.
Especially the chairs.
Come on.
Come on. And scene. I would get out there.
This is our first week back from vacation, and I, Bean, was lucky enough to travel to a location that I've been dying to go for many, many years, and I finally made that trip to Finland that I've been talking about. I was there for about 10 days. I saw almost 2,000 miles of that beautiful country. But while I was there, one of the most exceptional nights that I had was meeting up with a Kevin and Bean listener, a guy who's been listening to this program from Finland, never been to the United States. But he has an interesting story how he found us, and he's been listening to us for 2.5 years.
Wow.
It's interesting. I hate the American listeners. I got no time for them.
You have no time for anyone.
You're listening overseas? I'm in. Let's hook up. So let's welcome my new Finnish friend, Mats Hagback, to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mats, how are you, buddy?
Hi, Bean. I'm great. How are you?
Well, it's good to talk to you again. Thanks for the hospitality in your country a couple of weeks ago. I had a great time, dude.
Good. You're most welcome.
Yeah. I know Kevin had some questions about why and how this all happened, but why don't you start by telling our listeners, because I thought it was an interesting story you told me over dinner about how you even knew about the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, I'm a huge Motley Crue fan, so I was Googling for Nikki Sixx radio interviews.
I'm sorry, just a second. Let's back up a bit. Huge Motley Crue fan?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I was Googling for Nikki Sixx radio interviews, and one of the hits that I got was K-Rock. So I started to listen to a podcast, and I've been listening to K-Rock ever since.
No kidding. Wow, you got nothing over there, do you?
That's really weird.
It was so weird because he heard the interview, liked it, and then I guess came back the next day or something because we were doing something else. And then from then on, he just started listening every day. And this is weird, and I've never met a U.S. listener who does this, but Mats showed me his phone where he has downloaded, what was it? It was about 60 Kevin and Bean bits on your telephone, right, Mats?
About, yes.
Yeah. Wow, I've never heard of that.
And he says it's like having an iPod with greatest hits on it. I mean, you're out, working on the house or something like that, and you put your little headset on, and you're listening to, your favorite bits. It's just so weird. We have very few fans that are as dedicated as Mats is. Unfortunately, he is no good to us. He cannot help us. Cannot help us with the ratings at all. But, boy, we sure appreciate his support.
So, Bean went to Finland, and they had lunch. And I want to know how that came about.
I met Bean at the square, and he was hungry. So he asked, where can we go and have something to eat? So we went to a nice restaurant and had some nice food and something to drink.
Did Bean drink a lot? Because over here, man, he cannot put down the alcohol.
No, he had some iced tea.
Iced tea.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was a good time, right? And the guys are going to try to make it sound like it was a gay thing, like I was cruising. Mats is a... all right, that's fine. Thank you. Mats is a very happily married man. He's got a lovely wife and a couple of children. And
no way guys like that could be gay.
It wasn't a gay thing at all, though. Right. It was just a couple of guys sitting around shooting the breeze. Right, Mats?
Yes, people have to eat,
Well, here's the thing, though, Mats. The thing is that Bean is super antisocial.
Yeah.
And won't go to lunch or dinner or any... What?
No, he's not. Did you hear what Mats just said? Did you hear that?
That's why I think it's a... Because that's not typical behavior for Bean.
Until he travels out of the country, my friends. That's when it happens.
Where I don't have to worry about photos and the word getting out.
Hey, Mats.
Yeah.
Did Bean ask you a bunch of questions or make a bunch of statements that you had no idea what he was talking about? Just out of the blue?
Not so much. We talked a lot about music, about K-Rock.
Right. But then he would say something and you would think to yourself, where did that come from? That wasn't part of our conversation.
Not at all.
All right, then that wasn't Bean.
And then he'd ramble on and you'd think, doesn't he see the boredom on my face?
Mats did... He did take me down to the Paradise City. No, he did take me down to Finland's largest bridge, though. We drove a few miles to go check that out.
That and, must have been off the hook.
It was a pretty cool bridge.
That is a bridge. And it's the biggest one here.
And then we parked on one end and then walked out to the middle where the fishermen were and just kind of looked out over the beautiful islands.
How romantic.
Holding hands.
Yeah.
And then...
a tender kiss and a pat on the ass, and Mats was off in the night.
So how much time did you spend together?
About 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours, sorry. And how much time did being in that 2.5 hours spend on the internet, checking stories and getting his Google alerts and keeping up with the news?
Once.
What?
No, but he called his wife once.
What?
Yeah. Well, we were driving. It was a long ride, so.
Are you sure it was Bean that you met?
It was me.
Really freakishly tall guy.
Because
who dresses badly.
Bean's behavior is all the things I've been describing, and you're saying he did none of it.
None of it. You are wrong.
Okay, so what that means is Bean has the option of not doing it and chooses to do it to us anyway.
Wow.
I didn't want to pay the roaming charges for the international internet on my phone, so I didn't have internet on my phone when I was with Matt.
Don't buy
I had to
it.
Wait till I get. Well, it's true though. I mean, you don't have to buy it. It happens to be the truth.
Did you send a fake Bean?
Yeah.
No. It was me. But we had a great time, and I think Mats needs to be our Finnish correspondent. In the event that breaking news happens in his country, he'll be the guy that we go to. I know we've already got a listener down in Chile, and we've got one in Argentina and Mexico. I think Mats should be our Finnish correspondent.
Yeah. There's a lot of news coming out of Finland, I'll tell you
that.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Most of the people here, Mats, didn't even know what Finland was when I told them that I was going. It's so sad, as much as you love the podcast, by the way, that the day that you finally make it to the Kevin and Bean Show, your favorite radio show, website's all honked up. Not even going to post a podcast today. Can't even put it up.
Yeah, it's down.
I know it is.
Shut up. How do you know all this?
You listen because he went to the website.
Do you listen to the whole show? Or just the podcast? Do you listen to the show online or just get the podcast?
I just kind of listen to the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, hopefully we'll get it up next week, Mats, so you'll be able to save this one on your phone. But we're out of time for now, but we did want to check up, and the guys were convinced that there was some sort of gay thing going on in Europe. That was not the case at all, and I want to thank you again for the hospitality.
You're most welcome.
All right, Mats.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Recognize this music? Hey, Mats, are you still there?
Yeah.
Did Bean sauna with you?
No, he didn't.
Did he try to ask you to get in the sauna?
No.
Did he bring up saunas?
Not one.
Well, that wasn't Bean.
No, I'm convinced.
That was not Bean. I don't know who you had lunch with in 2.5 hours, had a good time. It was not Bean. I can guarantee you that.
Bean is a really, really nice, friendly, smart man.
Yep, not you. Not him. That's the first time those words have been used about Bean. In his life.
Oh. Okay, I think that's enough.
Plus is that.
Thanks, Mats. Have a great weekend, dude.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I thought about you last night. I was watching the Billy Mays tribute special on Discovery. Did you happen to catch it?
I did not.
Oh,
so I believe they're going to replay it later this week. So I'm going to
totally worth watching. And man, he had like Sully just bawling his eyes out. You just felt so bad for him and his wife and his kids and friends. Yeah, they were very, very close. But Billy Mays, the Pitchman season finale, is a tribute to Billy Mays. And I found out today he's got a new product. He's got one more infomercial.
Yeah.
The Mighty Tape is debuting next week.
Mighty Tape? It's Billy Mays from Mighty Tape.
I don't know what it is, but I'm going to buy some of it.
Well, I'm guessing with Mighty Men and Mighty Putty, this is the next generation of Mighty Tape, which is tape that will hold anything together.
Sure. Even underwater, yeah. I saw.
That's what I'm guessing. You could probably pull a truck with it, I'm guessing.
Going to buy it? You want it?
Yes, right. In his
honor.
I'm
going to buy it.
Yeah. Anyway, Billy Mays was absolutely the man and the best who ever lived at doing that. And you got to check out the special on Discovery, as Ralph says he thinks it re-airs. It's 6:53. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on?
I promised you an Adrien Grenier story. It is his birthday today. And last hour I mentioned I had a story about him that I just didn't have a chance to get to. So I wanted to bring it up in this Showbiz Beat. His buddy, Kevin Connolly, is telling tales out of school about his on-screen pal, Adrien Grenier. They do, of course, Entourage together. In a recent photo shoot for People magazine, the guys from Entourage were dressed as the Bee Gees for the Hottest Bachelors issue. Apparently, it was him and I believe it was Piven and Adrien Grenier. And they were dressed as the Bee Gees. And Adrien Grenier stuffed a pair of socks down his pants to make his package appear larger.
All right.
Kevin Connolly apparently called him out on it. And Adrien claimed, that's simply what you did during the 70s, he said. He was trying to be in character, so he was trying to be a method actor.
Yeah, sure.
And make his unit look bigger as well.
Is he a good actor, by the way, that Adrian Grenier?
He seems fine to me.
Does he?
I think he's real good in Entourage. I've never seen him in anything else.
I don't think he's great, but he seems fine.
It's hard to say. David Arquette is pulling a page from the David Blaine notebook. He is going to live in a box in New York City to raise money for the poor.
Yeah.
Well, at least he has a cause.
David said he is going to live in a plexiglass box above Madison Square Garden.
Gold-plated?
For, Tuesday and Wednesday to raise $250,000 for Feeding America, the nation's largest domestic hunger relief charity. He said he'll stay in the box each day for about 8 hours.
Really?
So he's really not living in the box for 2 days. He's just sort of going to visit it for 8 hours.
A little rough.
Hey, Gene Simmons.
How are you?
Good, Gene Simmons. How are you, Gene Simmons?
I'm doing just fine. Speaking of spending time in the box, Lisa.
Gene Simmons!
Thank you.
Gene Simmons!
He was now applauding himself.
No, I was applauding.
That asked
Mike was applauding Gene Simmons.
Of course.
Speaking of Gene Simmons, Gene has announced that the new Kiss studio album will be released shortly.
Yay!
So excited.
Are you excited, B?
Really?
I am.
They haven't recorded a good song since 1978.
Untrue. They have recorded some good songs. But I will tell you that when Gene Simmons announced to us a couple years ago that they would never make another record because there's no money in it, I was really, really sad because I think he and Paul are both very talented songwriters. So I'm excited to hear what they come up with.
Remember when they played Weenie Roast?
Yeah.
Of course.
Pyrotechnics. Mm-hmm. And one of the little... Piece of fire. I don't know what it was. Came down.
It was a piece of fire.
Came on Bean's head.
That's what pyrotechnics are all about.
Came on Bean's wife's head and set it on fire.
Yes, it did.
Bean's wife's hair was on fire.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
She wasn't even doing a Pepsi commercial.
That was the best.
She said, "I'm hot." So I don't really remember her saying in the tornado of fire. Gene said that it's going to be meat and potatoes rock and roll.
All right.
He said also that lead guitarist Tommy Thayer and drummer Eric Singer both get a song on the album as well. They get lead vocal shots as well.
Okay.
All right.
To which I said, Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer? Who the hell are those guys?
Who are those guys?
Whatever happened to Ace Frehley and Peter Criss?
Attitude.
Did you say drugs?
So this isn't Kiss.
Drugs for Ace Frehley and Attitude. Yeah.
This is Kiss. They
made a ton of records without Ace and Peter, remember? Part of the reason the reunion was a big deal, in addition to the makeup, was that he got all four guys
together.
Remember
the records they made without those guys?
Yes.
Blue!
Some of them were not as good as
they
might have
been. So
I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and hope that it's good, because I am a Kiss fan.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Just telling you. You know, second to Batman, my favorite comic book superhero of all time is the Green Lantern. Oh, love me some Green Lantern.
Gay,
awesome.
That's a strange choice.
Green Lantern has a power ring given to him by aliens, and whatever he thinks in his head, whatever he wills, he can make it with that ring.
Are you queer?
I would just make a giant sledgehammer just from here and just, bah, I would just crush you, Psycho Mike, crush you with my green hammer.
Are you queer?
No, I'm a Green Lantern fan. Anyway, they are making the Green Lantern motion picture. Warner Brothers has announced it'll be in theaters December 2010. So they have to get moving on this.
Book it now.
And apparently today is the day they're going to decide which actor gets to play the Green Lantern in the big screen movie version of the comic book. He is not on the short list. However, three actors are in negotiations, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Bradley Cooper, Ryan Reynolds, or Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
I am weeping in the inside. It better be Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Of those three, yes.
Because if it's Ryan Reynolds, it's going to... Ooh. Blow. Not and if it's good. Justin Timberlake, I gotta give it up. I can never read another Green Lantern comic book. I'll be bummed.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake.
In your mind's eye, as you've read the Green Lantern for all these years, Ralph, what kind of actor, what sort of dude do you see
playing that role? Hal Jordan, Secret Identity of the Green Lantern, is like a badass test pilot. He's like an Air Force test pilot with no fear. He's like a man's man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So is that going to be Ryan Reynolds or Justin Timberlake? Bradley Cooper maybe could pull it off.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
So we'll have to wait and see today who's going to be the
for
Green Lantern.
A year and a half to see it, though.
I know. Yeah. But I'm very excited to see who they cast.
That power does open itself up to be a pretty awesome movie.
The CGI, the special effects with the stuff coming out of the ring, it's going to be amazing.
I don't even know
what that is.
Special effects have caught up to the Green Lantern. That's all what right. I'm telling you.
Is there, forgive my ignorance, an actual lantern involved at all in the Green Lantern? Does he have a lantern?
Of course, Bean. That's how he recharges his power ring.
I should have known.
Does he turn into a lantern?
The alien Abansur gave him the power battery where he recharges his ring every 24 hours or else he loses the power in the ring.
Do you plug in the lantern?
No, it's just been given to him by the Guardians of the Universe.
Loser! Loser!
Hal,
loser!
Of course,
Hal,
of course, is the Green Lantern for Space Sector 2814. And there is a core of Green Lanterns across the universe, all pledging to keep order in the universe, you see.
Rough time.
Hey, nerd!
Nerd!
Hey, Gene Simmons is back.
How about that?
Lose my...
Yeah.
Speaking of giving someone a ring...
Wow.
Really? Gene, maybe you should have left well enough alone.
Good idea.
Yeah.
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph.
And see, that's where he gets the power from. He gets the energy from the Green Lantern lantern.
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph.
He has to touch the ring to the lantern and recite the oath of the Green Lanterns, which is, in brightest day or darkest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light!
Wow.
Ralph. Period. Ralph. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Ralph.
Dude, I should play Green Lantern.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care.
Should be me. Let's call Warner.
We don't care.
Let's
don't
pitch
care.
Me.
Don't
Let's
care.
Pitch
don't
me.
Care.
What do you say?
Oh, God. Don't care. Don't care.
Justin Timberlake. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Simpson, 29 years old today. Say what you want about her, but...
Yeah.
Giant size cans.
Thomas Ian Nicholas from American Pie is 29 years old as well. Adrien Grenier, we were just talking about him from Entourage. He is 33 years old today. Peter DiStefano from Porno for Pyros is 44 years old today. And lead singer for the Pet Shop Boys, Neil Tennant, celebrates his 55th birthday today. Happy birthday, Neil. What if they ever change their names to the Rescue Dog Boys, or whatever Peter was asking them to do. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's not that Keanu Reeves is awful in every movie that he's in. I mean, I have to give him props that he was great in The Matrix.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just a role that was custom made for the amount of acting that Keanu Reeves is able to do.
But The Matrix also didn't depend on his acting. It was all the bizarre story and the special effects, everything went along with that. It kind of covered him up.
But and by all accounts, he's the nicest guy in the world, too. People who know Keanu Reeves say he is a great guy. But he is still a terrible actor, leading to the exchange that we had on this show a number of years ago.
Many people believe, I'm one of them, that you are the worst actor of your generation. Is this some way to wash
Have you seen River's Edge? Have you seen Tune In Tomorrow or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
You know what I saw? I saw Dracula, Much Ado About Nothing, and Little Buddha. That's all I've seen. I got to be honest. Maybe it's not your best work.
You know, you didn't like Little Buddha?
Well, I didn't think you were good in it.
Okay, so...
That's how that went.
Having said that, though, now our prayers may be answered because there's a report that Ralph did on the Showbiz Beat yesterday that he is talking about quitting acting and becoming a chef. Like, that'll be his new career, is to cook, which is perfect.
That would be so great.
Yeah.
Because we don't ever have to see him at the movies again. So we thought, let's find out what the real deal is. We've got Mr. Keanu Reeves himself on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show now. Hey, Keanu.
Ah, yes.
What are you doing?
What's going on?
I'm here in my kitchen.
Oh, you're cooking right now.
I'm cooking as we speak.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Am I?
That sounds like it.
It sounds like you would know.
Why don't you just tell us?
I am.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is it about? Well, first of all, what turned on the cooking switch for you? Why all of a sudden are you so interested in preparing food?
Ah, yes. The cooking switch.
Right.
Whoa. Yeah.
What changed for you?
I read a book.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's it?
Called Molecular Gastronomy.
Okay.
It's by a professor from France called Hervé Thies.
Okay.
And it's about exploring the science of flavor.
Okay.
Perspectives on culinary history.
So you read that and now you want to quit acting and become a chef?
Ah, yes. Whoa. It has changed my life.
Okay, but
now I'm dedicating myself to the art of culinary development.
But don't you have a lot of downtime on movie sets? And I don't know, I'm trying to talk you back into acting, but don't you have time to do both?
I find that acting is no longer satisfying for my soul.
I see.
That I must now create a different kind of art using the magic of flavor.
What are you doing right there in the kitchen? It sounds like there's quite a lot going on.
I'm preparing the menu for my new restaurant that I'm opening.
Oh, you're opening a restaurant?
I am.
Awesome.
I'm opening my brand new restaurant. I hope you'll all come. The Day the Earth Stood Grill.
Perfect.
Hope you all... I'm opening it today, and we're just serving lunch today, and that'll be the first sort of tryout for the restaurant, but I'm very excited about the menu.
Okay, what's on it for today, lunch?
Today, for the Bram Stoker's Draculunch.
Come on.
You get your choice of Bill and Ted's Excellent Casserole.
Oh.
Or Liver's Edge. Which, of course, is a fine beef liver sauteed lightly in olive oil, served with a side of my own private Idaho potatoes.
You don't have to work your movie titles into every sentence.
Or do I?
It seems like you do, but I'm saying you don't.
Or do I?
Okay. Is that really the only reason you wanted to have a restaurant is because how funny the names are?
Whoa, that is really unfair. This is my art.
Right.
I put my soul into this food. For dessert, you get a choice of a fine selection of cheeses.
Okay.
Including Little Gouda. Or perhaps you'd like point cake.
Wow.
We have two choices. What? Wow. What's the wow?
Point cake.
You're not welcome in my restaurant.
Oh, it hasn't even opened yet. It's already keeping
cake. You can have the carrot or a Scanner Darkly chocolate. Or you can choose the souffle tricks. But if you order that, please ask 20 minutes ahead of time because it does take some time to make.
Sure.
Okay. Wow.
All right. So lunch today, and then we'll see how it goes. That's the plan, Keanu?
Or is it?
Or is it? You just said it was.
Yeah, it is
the plan.
UFC 100 happens tomorrow night from Las Vegas. We'll talk to UFC President Dana White in about 10 minutes. By the way, should we get Beer Mug on the undercard the way he...
Yes, we should.
Hasn't he been, like, going crazy for the MMA since he started it?
Well, we did MMA Beer Mug. You can see that, on the video section of krock.com if we get it back up. And he got his ass kicked, so he decided to start training.
He was destroyed.
Now he's on the bill of UFC 100. He's fighting Brock Lesnar. A lot of people don't know that.
Let's check in with our friend Beer Mug because he's on the street today with something very, very special that we are very excited about. It's going to be the grand prize drawing of a brand new car, which is a Kia Soul, and 311 playing a private party for you and your friends. Hey, Muggs, how are you, man?
Hey, by the way, Brock Lesnar's going down.
Yeah. I'm sure. That's your prediction, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure. You're really working on this, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm cut. I'm ripped. I'm ready to go.
Oh, I know.
Now, Muggs, a lot of professional athletes, cut back on the drinking a little bit when they're in training. How about you?
I mean, have you seen Mike Tyson lately? He's pretty portly. I think I got this.
Okay. He's retired, though. I'm just saying. What about you?
I got this, Bean. Don't worry about me.
All right. You have to have priorities.
So no.
All right. Let's bring folks up to speed. Beer Mug loves the Del Taco anyway. He's the original Mr. Go Bold or Go Home, and he has spent most of 2009 at Del Taco locations handing out K-Rock stickers. Am I right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so everybody who picked up the sticker then filled out the back and sent it in to us to be eligible for the grand prize drawing that we're going to do right now, which is the brand new 2010 Kia Soul and a private concert with the band 311. Now, this person better be home because we've been telling everybody all week long and it's up on the website.
I'll be
home at 7:15 Friday morning because Mug is coming with the car to your door. What city are you in, Beer Mug?
I'm in the beautiful city of Sherman Oaks right now.
Okay.
Are you
right outside his door?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. All I got to do is walk through one door, and we're going to knock right on his apartment door.
All right, and you drove the car over there?
Yeah, we have the car outside. It's got cool light-up speakers. Every time the bass hits in the car, the speakers light up.
Awesome.
That sounds... Are you serious? Cool.
Certainly not.
Wow.
Certainly not necessary, but for some reason I think I would love that.
Yeah.
it's so cool. I mean, when in a car, I mean, that's just something that never, ever, ever happens. But imagine, I mean, I'm hoping this person's a 311 fan, but imagine what it's like to have a private party, like a house party or pool party or a beach party or something like that, where you invite your friends over and 311 is the band that plays for you. I mean, this is the type of thing you can't buy. So I'm very excited to see who wins this.
All right, let's walk up and knock on the door.
Shall we do it? Yep. Let's go do it. All right, we're walking through the door.
Is it a house? House or apartment?
It's an apartment. Apartment. We're at unit C208.
Well, I don't know that you need to give the address.
It looks like he's got the Dharma Initiative on his door. Let's see who it is.
Maybe Ben is in there from Lost.
Yeah, there you go. Here we go. I'm going to knock.
What is that? Are you shooting a weapon?
No, that, that was just a
just sound. Remix? This
so
sounds
far,
good.
My, here, let me give it another knock.
A lot of K-Rock listeners maybe not up at 7:20 in the morning, too, is part of the problem.
I'm thinking. Probably hungover or something.
I'd say we're about 20% on finding people home.
Yeah. One more knock. Here we go.
Oh, phone sounds good, though. Oh, dog, good.
Do you hear the dog?
Yeah.
I think someone's coming to the door.
Great.
Are they going to stick a dog on you?
Oh.
Got a good phone connection. You're right, B.
Try to get him back out into the hall if you can.
Hey, Steve, it's Beer Mug from K-Rock. Oh, hang on with that. He's
coming
to the door.
He's naked.
Cool.
Oh, he's got to be naked. I bet he's naked.
Tell him you don't have time for clothes. Come on.
He's naked with peanut butter on his junk.
Oh.
Dean.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, we know.
He's got a lot of dogs, too.
A lot of peanut butter. Beer Mug, when you get him, take him out into the hall where you were so we can hear you.
Okay. All right. I don't know where he went, but he said he'd be here at
back to bed.
Put on some
went to get some pants. Yeah,
that's what he's doing.
Hey, Steve, this is radio. We only got a certain allotment of time here.
Well said.
Good job.
We're sending the right guy out, I'll tell you that.
Where'd he go?
Why would you be asking us?
Doing?
You're there.
All right, break down the door, Beer Mug. Do whatever you've got to do.
What's up, buddy? He just opened the door. He's a very cut, gripped gentleman with the shirt off.
Okay.
I sense a love connection.
And what's going on, man?
Hey, put him on the phone, Beer Mug.
Yeah, someone's on the phone. They want to talk to you. Right. Here.
Put him in the hall so we can hear, Beer Mug.
Here we go. Here, come out here, Steve. Come out here. Here, someone wants to talk to you.
Yes, much better. Good radio. Good much radio better. Right here.
Hey, Steve.
Hello. Hey.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Not as good as you, though, because you just won a brand new car. You're on the 2010 Kia Soul, which is downstairs in the parking lot of your apartment complex.
Are you serious?
Free car.
Yep.
And you also got a free party concert with 311 for you and 20 of your friends.
Oh, my God. Pretty crazy.
Now, we noticed on your MySpace page that you seem to be a big 311 fan.
Huge.
That makes us happy.
Yeah, perfect.
Because
yeah.
Sometimes we have to give away prizes
got
like this.
A 311 tattoo!
Huh?
He has a 311 tattoo? Really?
Wow.
I have perfect. An album cover on my back.
How about that?
That's fantastic.
Could not have worked out better.
So, tell me the truth here, dude. Is the reason you entered the contest for 311 not even for the car?
Dude, I entered for 311.
Yeah, of course. Wow.
And then I got fired from my job for my car breaking down.
This is perfect. Wow.
Well, you are going to love this Kia Soul. We've been checking it out on the website this morning. It is a beautiful car. It is brand new. It is paid for. So you can just leave that other car by the side of the road and drive your new Kia Soul to the free 311 show with you and your friends. I'm so glad you entered, dude, and I'm so glad you won. Congratulations.
God, thank you so much.
The only thing is that you have to remember that hamsters have to drive it. That's all I know. I've seen it
That's just in the commercial.
A bunch of hamsters and bobbing their heads.
He can drive it.
The
hamsters
sure?
is just in the ad. Yeah, he's totally fine.
Okay.
All right, you guys. Thanks. Thanks very much. Congratulations. Thanks for listening to K-Rock. All right, dude?
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Bye now. All right, there he is on the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
We got some good phone connections here. We have high quality equipment. At
very
K-Rock.
Proud.
It's 7:27.
Now, I want you to listen to this before we go to Dana White, UFC president. I want you to listen to this and tell me how you could not buy UFC 100.
Right.
It's the biggest night in UFC history with two world titles on the line and a card for the ages.
Man, I got some serious goosebumps. Tell me about it.
When the most powerful man in MMA, current UFC heavyweight champ Brock Lesnar, faces interim champ Frank Mir for the undisputed world heavyweight title. Also, the UFC welterweight title is on the line when current champ George St. Pierre, in the toughest fight of his career, squares off against the younger, stronger Thiago Alves, who's coming off a destruction of Matt Hughes, the most dominant welterweight of all time.
Thiago Alves has defeated Matt Hughes!
Plus, the Ultimate Fighter coaches go to war when MMA legend Dan Henderson and British superstar Michael Bisping battle on a night fans will never forget. UFC 100. Live Saturday, July 11th from the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Only on pay-per-view.
I wish I had that guy's voice.
No kidding. Wow.
Be great.
Dana, congratulations on reaching number 100, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. So Mandalay Bay Event Center, obviously completely sold out, and I hear that the resale ticket market for this fight is like none other you've ever seen before. I mean, people are just going berserk to be in the house for this one.
It's insane. The tickets for this fight sold out before they ever went on public sale, because we have this thing called the Fight Club, where mm-hmm. you can join the Fight Club and you get the first crack at tickets. Sold out before they ever went on sale. The closed circuit, we have closed circuit over at Mandalay Bay, sold out, and so we had to open another one over at the MGM Arena.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. Hey, before we talk about tomorrow night, and it really, you put together a phenomenal, I mean, two championships on one card is amazing, but tell me about the, like, where were the first 10 or 20 UFCs? Now you're sold out at Mandalay and on pay-per-view around the world. Where were the early UFC fights?
The first ever UFC fight was in Denver, Colorado.
Out of Walgreens?
And this was, you know, we didn't own it.
Right.
We bought it after this thing had gone bankrupt and gone out of business. The original owner did one there. Then once, you know, they started getting heat for doing them, they were doing them in places like Mobile, Alabama, and they did one in Puerto Rico.
Right.
Stuff like that.
But that was back when there weren't so many rules and everything, right? It was just more barbaric.
Exactly. Well, it was toted as, you know, no holds barred. Two men enter the cage, one man. What you guys have to understand is the guys who started this thing were a bunch of television guys, and they said, let's answer that age-old question, which fighting style is the best? Would a boxer beat a wrestler? Would a karate guy beat a kung fu guy? So this was supposed to be one event. Never in a million years did these guys think they were creating a sport.
Oh, I see.
Interesting.
So they put on this first event, and what happened is the answer to that age-old question ended up being no one fighting style is the best. You need a little piece of everything to be a complete fighter, and that's really how mixed martial arts was born.
That's an interesting point. Now, how long have you been the president of UFC, dear?
10 years.
Okay. Could you, in your wildest imagination, have anticipated what the sport has become?
You know, when you know this thing became available, I found out that they were going out of business, and me and my partners at the time were looking at getting into the boxing business, you know, start a boxing promotion. And I got exposed to mixed martial arts, and I was literally blown away by it. I fell in love with the sport, and in most of the athletes, you know, I said, this thing, I had the feeling it could be big. You know, you never know if the timing is right or, you know, if everything's going to work out for you. But, you know, I thought given the chance and if we could get the things done that I knew needed to be done, I thought it could be this big.
Well, I'll tell you, the best thing that happened is, you know, it's like a snowball effect. Once it started getting good, you started getting more and more young people who wanted to go into it. And now you're doing nothing but training superstars of the future. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be 1,000 people watching the fight tomorrow night who are going to be, I want to go into that. That's a life for me.
You're absolutely right. And what's happened is, you know, just like that story I just told you about, you know, how this thing has evolved.
Right.
It's basically what Bruce Lee was preaching back in the 60s. You know, no one style is the best. You have to have a little piece of everything. And now, when you and I were growing up, kids were taking karate and taekwondo and kung fu. Kids that are growing up today are taking mixed martial arts.
Absolutely.
Like you said, these kids these days that are coming up, you know, guys like Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture, Matt Hughes, all came from one style. And they had to learn everything else. These kids in the next 10, 15 years are going to be amazing athletes.
Because they're learning from a young age.
Exactly. Yeah. They're learning everything.
Do you remember how long ago it was, Dana, that that UFC was not a guaranteed sellout and you had trouble, you had to get out and promote it a lot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it couldn't have been that long ago, right?
I was, I think the last time I was in the studio with you guys, we were still, you know, plugging along and trying to, you know, get it going. This thing really took off in 2006, when we did The Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, really? Yeah. That was what pushed it over to the top?
Yep, no doubt about it.
Wow.
All right, we want to talk about the new season of that, but let's run down the card real quick for tomorrow night in Las Vegas. First of all, the rematch that everyone has been waiting for, Lesnar versus Mir. What are your thoughts, Dana?
I don't know. It's, you know, the first fight was so good. Lesnar came out and was, you know, basically winning the entire fight, and then Mir pulled off a submission and beat him. Every time Lesnar fights, he gets better and better. So it's hard to say. I honestly couldn't tell you what's going to happen, and that's what makes this stuff so exciting and so fun. I know it's going to be a good fight. Both coaches from season 9 of The Ultimate Fighter, Bisping and Henderson. Michael Bisping is a little pissed. He thinks that everybody is counting him out in this fight, and that he has no chance to win and everything else, and he's pretty fired up and says he's going to prove everybody wrong.
Does that help? Do most guys use that as as motivation?
I think, yeah, it does help. It does help. He's fired up. And when you know, everybody thinks you can't win and everybody's against you, you're the underdog, you know, it's extra motivation for a guy. You know, train harder to do the right thing, and mentally, it's a big mental thing when you go into the octagon.
Sure, I imagine.
This may be a dumb question, but in Las Vegas, can one put money down on the fight?
Yeah, you can. The odds are up, and you ask any of the casinos in Vegas, it's one of the biggest things they do in sports. And what they do with these fights is you can bet on all the fights on the card that night, not just, in boxing, you can only bet on the title fight.
Right.
It's so awesome that you're in Las Vegas, too, because for decades, there was the excitement on the Strip when there was a heavyweight fight in town. Remember what that used to be like? I mean, it used to be one of the biggest weekends of the year. You go to Las Vegas, you go there, everybody's talking about, everybody cares about the fight. And that has been missing in that sport for such a long time.
Oh, I'm telling you, this weekend here in Vegas, it's crazy. The Las Vegas Review-Journal just did an economic impact study. The UFC brings over $400 million a year into Las Vegas.
Wow!
$400 million a year. And we only do four fights a year here. We do 34 fights a year. We do four in Las Vegas, and then the rest all over the world. $400 million a year brings into Las Vegas. So.
Is there anything else that you're doing for the 100th? I mean, do you have any kind of celebration? Or yes?
What we're doing is today starts the UFC Fan Expo. We're doing an expo, 30,000 to 50,000 people are coming in town this weekend just for the expo.
Wow.
Not including
what is that? I'm sure it's a lot of memorabilia and stuff, but do they get to get in the ring and fight somebody?
No. What it is it's just like any other, industry expo. It's going to be, at mixed martial arts clothing companies.
Oh, I see.
Things like that. All these different booths that are set up. And we got this idea from the Arnold Classic. We do a fight every year in Columbus, Ohio during the Arnold Classic. And the amount of people that show up for these things is mind-boggling. But the reality is they're fun. If you're really into something and you show up and they have these expos, and there's tons of fighters going to be there that are doing signings and taking pictures. We're inducting Chuck Liddell into the Hall of Fame at this thing. People are speaking. There's seminars going on with different fighters. It's really cool.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to the president of UFC, Dana White. And Dana, I wanted to ask you one personal favor. St. Pierre is fighting on Saturday night.
Yeah. Yep.
Can you make him wear looser shorts? Do you think that's possible? I mean, really, just anything that can breathe a little bit.
Hey, listen, the girls love him.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, would it hurt?
We've seen enough.
Would it hurt for his junk to be able to breathe just a little? Come on.
You ever notice he wears tight shorts and an extra large cup?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you kind of previewed the upper card for us. What about the welterweight championship on the line? St. Pierre versus Alves. What do you think of that one, Dana?
Yeah, first of all, George St. Pierre is one of the biggest superstars in mixed martial arts throughout the world. And this literally is the most legitimate threat to his title in a long time. His last two wins, if you think about it, not to take any credit away from him, but he beat BJ Penn and Matt Serra. Both those guys are 155 pounders.
Right.
Thiago Alves cuts down from 200 pounds. This kid is a monster. He's won his last seven fights in a row. He's unbelievable. He can kick, knee, punch. He's got great takedown defense, and he's coming after GSP.
How do you stay healthy and strong if you're trying to lose 30 pounds for a fight?
I know. Well, these guys are getting that's getting more scientific too.
Yeah.
They start cutting weight 4 months before the fight. They go into their training camp 3 to 4 months before the fight and start dieting and cutting weight then.
Is that a problem for a lot of guys if they have to lose a decent amount of weight? Maybe they're not as strong, maybe they're not as, whatever.
Yeah, it depends. If they do it the right way, they'll be fine. For instance, the weigh-ins are today at 4 o'clock.
The weigh-in brothers?
yeah.
Oh, weigh-ins. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, the weigh-ins are today at 4, and Thiago Alves probably is waking up right now and probably has to cut 8 pounds.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah.
How do you do that in a day?
I don't know. They do it, though.
Wow.
Yeah, it involves a finger. That's how you do it, I'm afraid to say.
All right, last question, Dana, on our remaining moments, and we know you've got a very, very busy day as well. You made reference to The Ultimate Fighter. This new season, what we're hearing about the new season of Ultimate Fighter does not sound like it can be true. What do you got going on?
Yeah, there's a guy named Kimbo Slice out there from YouTube fame.
Yeah, we've heard of him.
The Backyard Fighter, and everybody was making such a big deal about this guy, and I was like, he's a farce, he's not for real, this guy would get killed if he fought in the UFC. And I said the only way this guy would ever have a chance of getting into the UFC is if he, won the Ultimate Fighter. And much to my surprise, he took me up on it, and this season he's in the Ultimate Fighter. We actually just got done shooting on Wednesday. And I'll tell you what, I'm blown away by this season. It's a great season.
So the new season is the Ultimate Fighter heavyweight.
Yep.
Right? And who are
all
the
heavyweights? We've never done just heavyweights before.
Who are the coaches?
Rashad Evans and Rampage Jackson. Who?
Anyone we've heard of?
They hate each other. And the stuff that went on between the coaches was amazing.
Ah, that sounds great. All right, get all the details about the show, about this weekend. UFC.com obviously is where you want to head. UFC 100 at the Mandalay Bay Events Center in Las Vegas. You're expecting over 1 million pay-per-views on this fight, plenty of room for anyone who wants to still get it.
Yeah, we do all these tracking. It's looking like we're tracking over 1 million buys, and it's available on pay-per-view. Tickets are sold out. There's closed circuit available, in cities all over the country, but pay-per-view.
All right, there you go.
Dana, we love you, man. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for the support. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you, man.
Bye-bye. Kevin Bean Show, Friday morning. Ralph, your podcast buddy, Adam Carolla, joins us next hour.
Did Adam's podcast this week, and we had a blast.
You were a guest?
I can't wait.
Yes.
Can't wait to hear it. The thing about podcasts, cool. I listen to a couple of them.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith's once in a while. I'll pick up Ricky Gervais once in a while. I'll take a listen. But I didn't realize when you're doing it, it's so weird because we're so used to doing things in 5 minute chunks, and then you have to play a song or commercials, whatever. When you do a podcast, you just sit there and just talk for an hour. It's very strange to do long form radio.
Yeah, if we do that, we end up at the boss's office every day.
Yep.
Yes.
So we can't.
How much did you swear, Ralph? Because you could.
Not so much.
Interesting.
It's weird when you know you can. It comes.
Oh, wow.
What? Look at what you did.
Come
there.
On. I was just asking.
All right. Friday morning, Ralph is here. That means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Couple new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. I think you'll be particularly interested in one of them. Stars Hayden Panettiere, the little cheerleader from Heroes. She plays a cheerleader once again. This time she's sort of a snotty popular cheerleader, though, by the name of Beth Cooper. Oh, come on. Oh, seriously?
Wow. Mike, Hayden Panettiere, come on.
She's
adorable.
A geeky student falls in love with the hottie, and he announces so much to the entire student body, which leads to hijinks, I'll tell you.
Hilarity?
Hijinks and hilarity.
All right.
I Love You, Beth Cooper is the name of the film. Inspiring is the fact that longtime 80s director Chris Columbus returns as director in this. He gave us, of course, the Home Alone movies and a bunch of other
America?
Great films of the...
he gave us America?
He discovered America, yeah. Right? That was him. I think that was Amerigo Vespucci, actually. Here's a series of clips from the trailer from I Love You, Beth Cooper.
I would like to say here today the one thing I will regret if I never say. I love you, Beth Cooper. And yes, when I graduate, I'm not going to keep hanging around my old high school like some kind of creepy loser who can't get an adult girlfriend. You know who you are.
You embarrassed me, but it was so sweet. I'll have to let you live.
That's nice.
So she doesn't like him at first, but I think she grows to appreciate him later on. That's what I'm guessing.
Do they learn a very important lesson?
They learn an important lesson in love by the end of the film.
The commercial says she gives him the night of his life, and I bet that's not what I'm thinking it is.
Yeah.
She gets naked, though, doesn't she?
I heard she gets naked in this movie. Yeah.
Maybe it is, then.
Maybe it is. I'm all about it. Will you stop making that face? There are so many less attractive women in show business, let alone the world, and you constantly pick on Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah, you're crazy with that.
She's adorable.
I agree. There's a lot of less attractive
women.
You
always call her fat and everything. She's none of those things you say she is.
She's not fat. She's just barrel-chested with no boobs and has midget arms.
Wow.
You're dismissed.
But you can understand when everybody else disagrees with you, maybe you're the one that's wrong.
Maybe it's a personal thing with you.
Let's remember, not everybody disagrees with me.
Not everyone, no.
For an entire break of many people who agree with me.
Yeah, but you're still you. That's what it comes down to.
Fair enough.
And you equals wrong.
That's right. And then the movie we're all...
What is wrong with you?
Yep. The
movie we're all looking forward to this weekend, Bruno.
Can't wait.
What's up?
Yeah. Cannot wait.
Sacha Baron Cohen returns, the man who gave you Borat and Ali G. Takes his character from the Ali G show and makes a feature film on the flamboyant Austrian fashion reporter who just makes everyone's life miserable, and I like making homophobes upset. And it looks like he does that quite a bit. Just in the scenes from the trailer, especially when he's out hunting with those guys sitting around the campfire. You've never seen more miserable guys in your life than the ones who are out there in the wilderness with Bruno.
It's the art of the uncomfortable. He makes them so... Like, he starts talking and then they all start freaking out. They don't know what they're doing.
He is fearless. He
brings
is.
Out their worst side.
He's the bravest comedian working today. Yep. Larry Charles directs Bruno. Here's a scene where Bruno is interviewing parents for a baby photo shoot.
Ich hired a top photographer and held a casting for the hottest baby photo shoot ever.
Is your baby comfortable with bees, wasps, and hornets?
George is comfortable with everything, so he's fine.
Is he comfortable with dead or dying animals?
Yes.
Is she okay with extremely rapid acceleration?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Does she always have to be in a car seat, or can she just, like, freestyle it?
Oh, yeah, you can freestyle it, put her in a car seat, whatever.
If it looks better without the car seat.
Of course, of course.
So what? You're traveling fast, you're not going to kill it.
Of course, of course.
Is your baby fine with lit phosphorus?
Yes.
Excellent. Does he like it?
Loves it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is what parents who are willing
are willing
to put their children in danger in order to land a photo shoot. These are all baby models with their parents.
Oh my
God.
He is casting. He is casting and threatening their babies left and right, and these parents just keep agreeing to whatever they say.
The brilliant thing is these are real parents that don't know, they're not in on the joke, so they're really saying it's okay to have bees and wasps and all that stuff
lit
around.
Lit phosphorus.
Yes. They're really agreeing to that, which is brilliant.
High-speed automobiles without a car seat.
Oh my God.
And don't you get the idea that he was going so far that he was just trying to find out where they would say no, what point they would drive
along. Screw you, you're not going to put my kid in that kind of danger.
Never got to that point.
Nope.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, he's a magician.
Can't wait.
He really is. And he, although he tries to set himself up as the focus of the joke. I mean, he is supposed to be the punchline, the fool. Invariably, it's the people he deals with that come off looking like total, complete a-holes.
That's why they all end up suing him.
That's
after
the power of his comedy.
After Borat.
Oh, I'm sure the parents in that commercial that we just played are going to be suing him.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Anyway, it opens in theaters everywhere this week. And obviously, my choice for my movie pick this weekend, Bruno, check it out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
I think we have some more business that we have to take care of. As you know, all week we've been giving you tickets to go see The Killers at the Hollywood Bowl. That show is September the 16th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. By the way, we've been lucky enough to see The Killers a couple of times. Fantastic live band.
Great. Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
So not only did you win tickets for the show at the Hollywood Bowl, you also won a big, big grand prize. And I think we're going to make the call right now to that lucky K-Rock listener to find out who gets to present the show at the bowl. Pretty cool.
I want my name on all the tickets. That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your name on the marquee. Everybody driving down Highland gets to see Joe Schmo presents The Killers. Although it's unlikely the winner's name will be Joe Schmo, but that's an example.
You get a dressing room, too?
Yeah. You get a dressing
backstage?
Room.
Backstage.
You have to do a
limo,
costume change.
Box seats.
Yeah, you have to costume change between every song.
By the way, who picked this music? Bruno?
That's Killers.
Come on.
Forwarded to an automatic voicemail.
Oh.
5624.
What about the whole, we're going to call you Friday morning at 8 o'clock if you win? What about that?
Slacker.
Press 5
now. Hang on, let me leave a message.
Oh! F*** you!
All right, there you go.
No.
Yep, that was the message.
Who is the winner and from what city?
Geraldo Gutierrez. From Downey.
All right. All right.
From Downey. All right. So he is presenting the big show at the Hollywood Bowl September 16th for the Killers.
Tries to work.
Oh, we have another number?
Okay. Hello, Geraldo Rivera.
No, Dave. It's Geraldo Gutierrez.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Try it again.
Gutierrez here.
Gutierrez. Okay.
All right. Now, let me stop you right there, King, because what we've done is because we know how frustrating it is for you, the listener, when we call and get an answer machine. So we have hired an actor, an unnamed actor, to play the part of the winner. So this way we get the payoff, the exciting payoff of somebody actually winning the grand prize.
Hey, unknown King of Mexico actor.
Yes. Hello, guys.
You have won the grand prize to present the Killers.
No way.
I'm telling you the truth, man.
OMG.
Wow, Geraldo's a Gossip Girl fan, too.
He is.
Listen, Geraldo, you're going to see the Killers at the Hollywood Bowl September 16th. Tickets aren't even on sale yet. The Hollywood Bowl, that's right, yes.
I was pretty sure you knew that going in.
You are going to have a box seat for you and three of your friends.
Awesome.
You are going to have your name on every ticket sold. And what's that name again, Dave?
Geraldo Gutierrez.
Gutierrez, right?
Not every ticket.
Every ticket.
Is going to be on the marquee out front. Let me see. We're going to give you, how about this? How about a dressing room backstage for you guys?
Woo!
How about if a limo picks you up at home and takes you to the show and then brings you back afterwards?
Hey, Ma, we're going to the bowl!
No. Wait a minute. You're not taking your mom?
Why not?
It's the Killers.
She's hot.
I don't think that's where we wanted to go.
Well, you can wine and dine the old lady because we're also giving you dinner before the show as well.
Woo! I love dinner.
I love dinner.
Hey, Hawk, I love you. You're the best.
Tell us again how we're the best.
Dressing room. Oh, that's too much. Yeah.
Hard to process, isn't it?
It's so much.
Do you know the three friends?
Explode.
Do you know the three friends that you're gonna take?
No, I don't have three friends.
You don't have three friends. All right.
You
have a lot in common with our friend David. All right. So another very satisfied Kevin and Bead Lister, the grand prize drawing for the Killers at the Hollywood Bowl. Mr. Gutierrez, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bead Show.
Thank you, K-Rock.
Would you say you're excited enough that your eyes are
bonkers?
Would you say that's true?
I'm super excited for this show.
Adam Carolla, welcome to the studio.
Yeah, good times. Get it on.
It's 8:21. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday morning. Ace, I know I'm the only guy under 80 watching the Million Dollar Password, but Betty White schooled your ass last Friday night.
I know.
You were on that?
I was smoked.
You were smoked by 85-year-old Betty White.
I know, but she plays like a 77-year-old. You're right about that. It's all right. One quick knee to the groin took that bitch out backstage. Oh, no problem.
Well, there you go.
Folded her like a card table.
Got to do what you got to do.
I know there are so many times in your life, especially, where you have to go look around the room and go, how am I in a room with Regis Philbin and Betty White? What the hell is going on with me?
I know. And it's really weird when you grow up watching these shows, especially when they bring them back. Like, yeah. I used to watch... You know, the pyramid and all that stuff and
all game shows?
What the hell was
match game?
Yeah, match game and all. Then you find yourself older and in them, although you're never the celebrity you thought you would be if you got asked to do that show when you were 9.
Yeah, you feel like they ran out of celebrities, so they put you in.
It's sloppy celebrity seconds is basically right. What it is.
Right, I got you.
Well, they had Betty White. They didn't need another A-lister, so it didn't matter who they filled in with the other one.
All I remember is this. You know, you're in this room, and you get this adrenaline surge when it's time to go. Like, no matter what, there's a big crowd, there's cameras on you, and Reed is like, go, you know? And I'm staring at the screen, and they start easy, and they get a little more difficult as they go on, and the very first one, and I don't really know how to play, but I'm assuming the guy I'm playing with knows how to play, or he wouldn't have made the cut.
Of course.
So the very first thing that pops up on my screen is West. And the way you play match game is if you go salt, the person says pepper. It's just how you say it.
Sure.
So the first thing that pops up is West, and I go East, and he goes East Carolina, and I go North. And he goes North Dakota, and I'm like South Bend, Indiana, and I go. blank Virginia, and he's like, a pass. And I'm like, really?
Wow.
I hit every compass heading except for the one that was in front of me, and he didn't get it.
Unbelievable.
And so now it's a weird thing because you've just wasted 23 seconds, and you have 30 seconds, and you didn't get past the first one.
Yeah.
And then the other part is there's a part in your mind that's going, oh, my God, this person's horrible.
Right.
And I'm having to play with this person that's horrible.
And there's no way that can end good.
No, it did not. So it ends with Betty White winning two times.
Wow.
Exactly. All right. Before we get to This Week in Rage in a couple minutes, we haven't seen Adam since the events of this week with Michael Jackson.
Yes.
We were on vacation, of course, when he passed away, and then this week was the big memorial service, the funeral, all that kind of stuff. It had to be driving you crazy because I know you're the same way we are with the media and the coverage and the nonsense and everything like that. What have you been like?
Well, obviously, it's a tragedy, but I got tired of all the guys from, like, the entertainment desk. You know, they'd interview all the people from, like, the entertainment editor for Us Weekly. And he's, like, a 42-year-old guy, and he's sitting there, and he's like, we all had the red leather jacket with the zippers. We all had the glove. And I'm, like, going, nope, I had jeans and a John Hyatt record and some Converse. I didn't. We all know what it's like to sleep with a 16-year-old Brooke Shields and not try to bang her. We all had monkeys. And it's like, no, I didn't try the moonwalk. I didn't have the red. We all didn't have the red jacket with the crazy glove. We all didn't try to do the dance. We all didn't have the crazy sunglasses.
Most of us didn't do any of that.
Right.
I know it is weird when one guy says that, and it's a little revealing, too, when you're talking to a 40-year-old guy who says we all had the glove. I didn't know anyone who had that glove, and if they would have had that glove, they would have gotten their ass kicked, or it would have been the worst rectal examination ever. Could you think of a worse glove? As a matter of fact, if I was a proctologist, I would have that glove in my kit just to whip it out.
I'm a huge
Michael Jackson fan. The thing that's also funny about the glove is somebody decided that all the pallbearers had to wear the glove.
Yep. Yes.
And I was watching the foot. Well, first off, when you're like 51 and someone tells you to put on the mirror ball glove, don't you have to go, it was his thing, and that was 25 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We all had crap we were into when we were young. Let's just have a little dignity.
He still wore it, though.
He did?
Well, I mean, pretty much. But again, I don't care if you're 10 or 50. Only he wears it.
But he had shin guards. Yeah. He had a mask. He had a lot of things. He was a catcher, essentially.
He could have been a catcher for a Major League Baseball team.
He really could have. He had a glove, shin guards, and a mask. He really could have caught for the Dodgers. But they did the thing where they go, all right, everyone, all the pallbearers, we'll all put the glove on. And first off, you wonder if there was one Jackson, like Tito or Jermaine, who was going, I'm not going to put the glove on, and they had to talk him into the glove. But then I realized, as I was watching the pallbearers, they were all using the glove hand on the casket.
Right.
And the casket's made of, like, solid gold.
It's
a two-ton casket.
Yeah.
And you got the sweaty glove hand hanging on to the casket. It just seems like a recipe for disaster.
It's going to be all scratched up at best.
It's really casket that gets lighter when you put the body in it. I feel like somehow that casket lost a little weight when MJ climbed in.
They
lower him in, whatever it is. And then it's weird, too, when you hear him interview, and it's like, he looks so peaceful. Of course.
Yeah, I like that.
Is anyone going to the grave? By the way, how bad a mortician would you have to be to make you look stressed out?
That guy looks stressed.
Wow, he looked like he had a ton on his mind. He was probably wondering if he left the stove on before he left the house. It would be a bad practical joke as a mortician to make you look really worried. No, puzzled.
Yeah.
Or freaked out,
sure.
Perturbed, because they could do anything they wanted to do with you. It's a little bailing wire, just put you in the casket, make you look a little like, hey, man, what the hell? Did I send that check off or not? I think someone owes me money. Either way, I'll take this thought into the afterlife.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You got to be so glad, as we are, that it's over. I mean, now people are starting to say, perhaps too much coverage. Perhaps we overdid it on the coverage a little bit, but you couldn't get away from nothing but for two solid weeks, 24 hours a day of all Michael Jackson, right?
Well, at least Dr. Drew gets a little basic cable FaceTime.
Well,
that's the good thing, to see that guy come out of his tomb and get just a little bit of FaceTime on cable TV.
Yeah, was that his first appearance on cable TV? Because I'm unaware of
he
any others.
He seemed really composed, but I'd never seen him on TV before.
Yeah, that is weird. Okay.
I can't believe he took umbrage with the doctors who were giving him everything. He's radical like that. All right. It's Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Adam Carolla is here. We'll take a quick break. Come back with This Week in Rage right after this. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means our friend Adam Carolla is here. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Number one, number three, I should say, working down to number one. My pool. I'm angry at the bodies of water. Now, just dig this. It's been hot lately, especially out here in
SoCal.
You're
angry at your pool with
water
in it.
I'm angry at the pool. Okay. Yes, I'm angry at the water in the pool, not the hole itself. I'm not mad at the gunite or the tile or the coping, but I'm mad at the actual water.
What's wrong with the water?
Well, because it happens every year. It's getting hot out here now.
Right.
And, like, last year was, like, 103 degrees for 10 days straight, and at night it dipped down into the low 80s, but the pool was still 61.
Right.
The pool remains a constant 61 degrees. And if you think about it, do the math. Everything around it, the ambient temperature is either 104 degrees or 88 degrees. It never gets cold. It's in the sun all day long, but yet that thing remains a constant 61 all the way through the summer. I mean, you can heat it. You can spend a bunch of money, make Al Gore cry. It takes a ton of dough to heat it. Why does that? Your car seat. It's 172 degrees. The steering wheel, you can't touch. Yeah. You try to get a suck off the hose, fire starts shooting out of the hose. Yep. The hose water, 200 degrees. Yep. The pool water, nothing. The hose water, you'd like to be cold, right? Pool, you'd like to be hot, will not change.
Your pool?
Exactly the same. Still hot as it is, and it's not like it's being fed from a glacier. It's not like some Evian commercial or something. It's a body of water that sits in the middle of a yard that gets hit by the sun all goddamn day, and it never gets hot.
In a place where it's sunny all day,
every day. And during certain portions, during the dog days of summer, at night, it doesn't dip below. I mean, you get up at 5 in the morning, 4:45, it's 75 degrees when you're looking at your car thermostat on the way in, right?
Yeah.
How can that thing defy us and stay at 61?
Has it ever gone to 62, or is it
even
really stubborn?
Even if it gets, it's always cold.
Yeah,
whatever it is, it's hotter than S outside. It's cold, and it's like, and it's weird, too. Like, you could fry an egg on the patio next to the pool.
Right.
That thing, you're burning your feet. You're doing that run thing. Like, the only good read, the only thing that comes from this that's good is that you can take some of the cold water from the pool and throw it onto the patio so you don't burn your feet. Get with it, water! Come on, cool down!
How is water supposed to get with it?
Just, I mean, you're sitting there. You're not doing any, everything else that's sitting there is heating up.
Yeah.
You leave a tool out in the sun, you can't touch it, the handles. Your car is a ball of flames. Patio furniture, you burn your ass if you miss the pillow and hit the mouth. Everything else is hotter than Hades. How about you, water? Let's go. This year, let's go. Let's get with the program. All right. I don't know. I had a weird moment. I was watching. I've seen the show MASH 200,000 times. I've seen.
Great show. Still on? When was it popular?
They were showing like a that ran from 72 to 83.
Okay.
They were showing like a marathon on it over the vacation, and I'd seen the show a million times since I was a kid, since I was adult. Always loved the show. And then I was just sitting there watching it the other day, and it dawned on me, wait a minute. This show is about the Korean War.
Right.
Alan Alda had a huge tuft of weird long pube hair.
Right.
Trapper John had the weird Jufro.
Right.
He literally had a natural going. BJ Honeycutt had that big bushy mustache and the long dry. Everyone had long dry hair. That wasn't about Vietnam. That was Korea.
Korea was
1950 to 1953.
Okay.
Do you know what guys' hair looked like in 1950?
I don't think
like
so.
Handfuls of pomade dripping off it. They all look like they're from a Weezer video. Nobody had the weird Abby Hoffman dry pube hair.
Okay.
It was crazy hair. We didn't know it. It was insane hair for 19. But you ever see commercials for like cigarette ads or anything like that or game show hosts from the 50s?
Yeah.
All jet black and covered with pomade. None of them looked like Alan Alda with the super long dry pube hair. What was up with that?
So your complaint is that 9 years ago when that show came on, they didn't have an accurate...
They had Vietnam hair in Korea.
Ah.
And that's why we all thought it was about Vietnam, because they had the wrong war hair. They picked the wrong war. But it's 1950 to 1953. Come on.
See,
This is why Adam used to do a feature on his radio show called What Can't Adam Complain About? Because he looks at MASH, one of the most celebrated and loved television shows in history, and figures out a way to ruin it for us.
Well, look at their hair now. Does that look like 1950 hair?
Now
no one's going to be
able to enjoy that show
anymore.
Angry.
Right. Hey, you know who I blame? Adam. I'll tell you who I blame. Elvis.
Elvis?
Elvis did 2,000 movies, one haircut.
Yeah.
One movie, he's playing an Old West gunslinger. The next minute, he's playing a priest. Exactly the same hair. Same hair, exactly. Probably shot them both that day, to be fair to him.
Sure.
But the exact same hair. So I blame Elvis for this.
Okay.
Oh, someone should kill that guy. Oh. And speaking of guys you want to kill, I was thinking of the word. I know we can't say it, but you know when another gentleman gets in the way of you and a lady, they call the C-block?
Yeah, it's a C-blocker.
Can't say it, but the C-blocker.
Right.
And nobody likes a C-blocker. Everyone hates a C-blocker. I mean, I don't know that there's worse you can call a white guy. We got worse names for other nationalities,
of course,
but that's our N-word.
Yeah.
C-blocker. You call a guy a cracker all day long, he just laughs. You call him a C-blocker, there's going to be punches thrown. And then I start thinking about it. It sounds good. My buddy's a C-blocker. What happened? I was out at a club. A C started flying at me, and he dove. He dove in slow motion like Harrison Ford in the 80s movie. No!
That's not the right C.
Anytime a C is coming at you, well, I can't say the whole word, but you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I would like to be out with a guy where if I saw a C sneaking up behind me or a guy trying to stab me with a C, I wish I could say the word. But you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Some guy brandishes a C, and he starts waving around, and the C blocker jumps out in front and takes it for you.
Like a superhero.
Yeah, we were in a fox. And the sea rolled in, and anyway, we're all doomed. And this dude, he dove on it. He dove on the sea. He's a sea blocker. He's a world-class sea blocker.
Yeah, but look at his hair, though. It's totally inappropriate for the era.
He has all Alan. You know, that's what happened to his hair. His Alan, all the hair. He got it from blocking too many seas.
Oh, well, at least it's a good reason.
I'm just saying it's the worst thing you can call a guy, but it sounds pretty good.
All right.
Man's a sea blocker.
All right, so let's recap. Mm. Water.
Bad, angry.
And you want water to get with it.
I want that, and I also want BJ Honeycutt's mustache.
The hair
to get
on
with
MASH.
It too. The
needs,
hair on MASH.
Needs to get
it's
with
Vietnam
it.
Hair. It's not Korea hair.
Okay, and the C blocker.
C blocker sounds good.
So is it good?
It's bad.
It's bad. Okay.
It's horrible.
All right.
You want me to
right,
show
well,
you?
Nope.
All right.
You've given us some homework for the weekend. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Adam Carolla for stopping by for This Week in Rage. By the way, you should be checking out Mr. Carolla's podcast at adamcarolla.com. Ralph, what day are you going to be the guest on the podcast? Do you know when that'll be posted?
We recorded it this week, but they sometimes will bank them, you know, and then play them later. So I'm not sure what day exactly I'm
trying to
be
find yet. A day to recommend our listeners avoid
hey,
the podcast.
What the?
Just that one day.
But that means that
yes,
you...
Yes, because...
Hey, there's no Kevin and Bean podcasts for a while, so you may be looking around for something else to listen to. May we recommend adamcarolla.com. We've got some problems with our website right now, but we are working on it. We are
aware
of it.
Would you call it some problems?
Yes.
I'd say disaster.
Because it doesn't exist? Is that a right. problem?
Minor inconvenience.
Euphemistically, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Right. All right, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Final look at the day's headlines and entertainment for a Friday morning. What's going on?
You know, Jimmy Fallon has his Saved by the Bell reunion he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that Oprah is trying to get a Brady Bunch get together on her show.
Wow, would
Which
that
is
be boring?
Not nearly as cool because they've been together 30 times since that show went off.
But it's been a while since the last reunion. And right. Oprah wants to get those kids back together again. Apparently, everyone's on board except for Eve Plum, who played Jan, the middle girl on the Brady Bunch.
Right.
And Maureen McCormick, who played Marsha. Is none too pleased about her stonewalling.
Okay.
All of us have said yes, except for one person, Eve Plum, says Maureen, who used to be my best friend, but now apparently wants to distance herself from the show and most troubling from me. I have no idea why, unless she's mad at the joke I made a few years ago that we had a lesbian love affair. Maybe that did it. Maybe it was the rumor of the lesbian
Could've.
Love affair. Some Could've. People are very... sensitive about that kind
maybe
of
she thing. Hates Oprah is that a possibility oh no she's a girl never
well,
mind
who doesn't so we'll have to wait and see if they get the entire reunion
I'm so fat
God help me now
I just hope they get Robert Reed come on Mike
oh, God.
Come on
he's
Mike
not, he actually
he's
won't
my
be
favorite
able to.
He's gonna be the best he's very he's right, a rock contour he'll tell very he funny stories
he's in the rock
he can't make it
David Arquette's gonna live in a box in New York City to raise money for the hungry.
Does this just mean he's homeless?
No, it's a plexiglass box that will be above the Madison Square Garden marquee.
Oh! Give me the box!
And when I say live in the box, he's going to be in it Tuesday and Wednesday for about 8 hours a day.
What?
So it's more like a job. He's punching in and punching out.
But he can leave?
He's pulling a shift.
Well, that's not impressive.
Yeah. He wants to raise $250,000 for Feeding America. That is the nation's largest domestic hunger relief charity. And I'll tell you something right now, David Arquette, if you get in the box and never come out,
right,
I will give you $250,000 myself
I like
for
it.
Feeding America.
I like it.
How about that? Because really.
David yeah, Arquette. Really.
Really with the David Arquette.
Because really.
Brooke Shields said, after she gave her eulogy for Michael Jackson and his memorial service last Tuesday, that Michael proposed to her several times. How about that? Mm.
Proposed marriage?
With the rings and the wedding and everything.
I guess they were a lot closer than I realized.
Yeah, me too. She said she really never felt the need to take a walk down the aisle with Michael Jackson.
Well, I can see that. She made the right decision, but...
But to reassure him, she said that she would be in his life for the rest of his life, regardless of what state their relationship was in. And she kept true to that promise. She said she was close friend with his all the way to the end.
It was a very moving speech.
Am I a bad person that when she was up there talking about Michael Jackson, everybody seemed to be crying and everything else? I just kept thinking, she's pretty hot right now.
She looks great. I thought the same thing.
Okay, good. It's not that I'm not depraved. It's that you are, too.
She's just hot.
You just can't deny it, no matter what the situation. You can't turn off your penis just because it's a funeral.
It is funny that there is a list of women who are hotter now than they were 20 years ago, and I don't know how that's possible, but she's one of them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about hotter, but she's maintained.
She looks amazing.
Because she was pretty amazing. When she was 13, she was stunning. It was just one of those genetic oddities. Take a look at the... No, she's not 13 anymore. It's okay.
Oh.
We can talk about it. We can give her the big bell. The big girl bell. Congratulations to The Hangover. This weekend, it should become the second highest R-rated comedy of all time in terms of box office.
Deserves it. Can't wait to go again. Been three times.
They say this week it will surpass Wedding Crashers as the second biggest money-making R-rated comedy ever.
How about that?
You know what the number one is? Number one R-rated comedy of all time? Money-making-wise? Any guesses?
No.
South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
No.
Jackass.
No.
Right,
go back. You got to go back.
No.
Got to go back.
Way back? Like Animal House?
I don't know.
Not that far back.
80s.
R-rated comedy.
I don't know.
Biggest. Number one.
Don't know.
Biggest one.
I know. But I won. Don't have a guess.
Made the most money.
Going to have to
this
give us the answer.
Made the most
give
money.
Us the answer.
What was it called,
number
Ralph?
One.
I'll give you a hint. Beverly Hills Cop.
Is that the hint?
Yes, that's the hint. Any guesses?
That wasn't really good.
Was it Ghostbusters? No. It was Beverly Hills Cop.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Biggest money-making R-rated comedy ever. The Hangover may surpass that yet.
I was going to say, is it close or... like, is it passable or is it just way out?
Yeah, it's passable. Huh. Yeah. Apparently, Beverly Hills Cop, I don't know, had almost $300 million in ticket sales.
Wow.
Wow.
Hangover's the best movie ever made. Back to you.
Okay. Easy.
If you were Lindsay Lohan's agent who tried to get her to be in the movie The Hangover, to play the Heather Graham role, and she turned it down, would you call her every single day and leave box office numbers?
Hey, see the latest? Hey, number two. Number two R-rated comedy of all time. Congratulations. Nice work there, Firecrotch.
Hey, just want you to know, just made another $20 million today. Okay, bye.
Yeah. And speaking of movies, Jodie Foster is in negotiations to direct a new movie called The Beaver. Jodie Foster. Jodie Foster's The Beaver. You can see that in a marquee.
Nice Beaver.
Yeah. Hey, have you seen Jodie Foster's Beaver?
Yeah, it was great.
That was good.
It's one of my top five Beavers of all time.
But what are the porn companies going to do for the knockoff title? I mean, there's not much there to work with.
Good question. The film is apparently a grown man who wears a beaver puppet on his hand that he treats as a real person.
I want to see this movie.
I'm so tired of that concept being trotted out every couple of years for them to make one of these, I treat the hand puppet like it's a real person beaver movies.
Yeah.
Casting-wise, also interesting, Steve Carell and Jim Carrey at one point had both been tied to the project, but now it appears that Mel Gibson hopes you'll pay $12 to see him talking to his hand as the star of The Beaver.
He seems like he could pull it off. Don't you think?
And Mel and Jodie Foster, they worked together.
Very good
friends. That movie, they're very good friends, right? Yeah.
They were in Maverick together.
That's right.
So, here's your Beaver update.
you have a boy who plays with Beaver, huh?
Yeah, I sure do. I'll be watching the Beaver news closely, so I will give you an update.
Again this weekend.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Simpson is 29 years old today. She is my biggest conundrum. She is my biggest push-me-pull-you. She gives me the most agita regarding the battle between my head and my penis.
Right.
Because she really is a very attractive, just curvy, voluptuous, zoftic sex pot.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Yeah. And then yet, she's her.
Gotta be sound down. Has to be sound
down. No one has ever been more sound down.
You would make hate with her, wouldn't you?
Yes. That's what.
But it would even have to be sound down then.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the whole time it would have to be sound down. She would open her mouth and you go, okay, I'm out. See ya.
Literally.
You have to cross her with like a Basenji. You know those dogs who don't bark?
Yeah. I have a friend who has one.
Yeah.
They're from Africa.
Yeah, there's an African dog that has no bark.
Okay.
You'd have to sort of get some gene splicing going on and just make that happen. Because it would the minute anything came out of her mouth, it would just be a deal breaker.
You could take out her vocal cords.
Out of her mouth, though, right? That'd be good. That'd be good.
Yes, Bean.
I heard correctly. That's all.
Playing Bean off.
Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat is playing Bean off.
Come on.
Thomas Ian Nicholas from American Pie is 29 years old today. Adrian Grenier from Entourage is 33. Peter DiStefano from Porno for Pyros is 44. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, that's it, sir. You want to start the weekend?
No. One more thing left.
Anybody got any more jokes? Anything funny? No? No? All right. See you, folks.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I know nothing about nothing.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
Roll another one.
I brought my mind to a complete halt.
Just like the other one.
Come on, I'm just trying to do my job.
This one seems to be about to switch.
Straight quit.
And I need another hit.
How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Roll another one.
When life throws you a curveball, lemonade.
Just like the other one.
Why is your bum but you won't but a bum?
This one seems to be about to end.
You know what I love? I love Oreo.
I don't have another cent.
For individuals from the Los Angeles area who are currently experiencing an outbreak of genital warts.
Yes, this is what they call a bittersweet moment.
Just pass it around.
My balls are no longer proportionate to my life.
Remember Alaska? America is now more than ever looking north to the future, and it'll be good. So God bless you. And from me and from my family to all Alaska, you have my heart.
Thank you. Most interesting. Now I think we've had quite enough of this nonsense.
Hello. This weekend is a time to get together with family and friends, kick back, and enjoy a little time off. And I hope that's exactly what all of you do.
Come on, boys. Let's go tear this mother down!
Good night. Drive safely and have a fun summer. School is out. Hope to see you out on the street.
I told something to Kevin off the air yesterday that has paralyzed him ever since, which is that these days I am starting to see more and more articles on the web and on stories on television about the 2012 presidential election.
And I'm saying we lived through that year and a half of hell. We deserve 2.5 years at least of peace.
Yes, now, my God.
No way.
I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. Oh. And one of the reasons there's been so much talk is who's the Republican nominee going to be against Barack Obama in 2012. And one of the names that's getting a lot of press has been in the news a lot lately. And we welcome the soon-to-be former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, hey, Governor.
Golly gosh. Thank you, fellas, for that kind applause.
There was one.
Governor, you frankly shocked the world at 4 o'clock on July 3rd, not exactly a hot news time of day, when you announced your resignation from the position of governor a year and a half before the end of your term. What the hell is going on up there in Alaska?
Well, you know, it's funny. I didn't even think about that when I made the speech.
You didn't think about the presidential election or the end of your term, either one?
I didn't think about it. Everyone says, oh, it was a Friday before a holiday, and you didn't want the press to cover it. And that's just not how I operate.
That's how everyone operates. They know it's a slow day in the media Friday afternoon.
I am a renegade, and I don't play politics as usual.
Right.
I am different, and I'll tell you, I'm doing this for the good of Alaskans, and I hope that Alaska has a very nice weekend.
Okay. All right.
Governor, let me play just a couple clips from the press conference, again, that happened while we were on vacation, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it. Maybe you could explain, because you keep saying I've already given my explanations as to why I'm leaving, but I'm listening to this tape and I don't hear them.
Rather, we know we can affect positive change outside government at this moment in time on another scale and actually make a difference for our priorities. And so we will, for Alaskans and for Americans.
What?
That's absolutely right.
But what does it mean?
What are you saying?
I want to give more power to Alaskans and to Americans to have the power to operate in a positive direction so we're all not hampered by the negativity of things that aren't positive.
What does that mean?
Can't you do that as governor?
I am looking forward to acting as a power for good in this country by moving positively and not having all the negativity without being yoked by the title of governor.
Okay, I still don't know what that means, but let me ask a follow-up question. Can't you do all of that more effectively as a governor of a state?
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah. Okay.
I don't care. I'm just
saying. With the lame duck policy where I have to spend lots of money and go on big expensive trips and vacations and throw away money. Well, I just won't do that. I won't do politics as usual.
But you seem to make it sound like everyone who asks, again, Governor, why are you resigning? All of a sudden, we're part of a liberal media conspiracy to bring you down and denigrate your good name.
And I think that's the problem, is that you can't recognize that I have a higher calling, and I am moving in a positive fashion, but I'm doing it in an unorthodox way, and that's what confuses you.
You're saying a lot of words that aren't making sense.
I am not going to be a lame duck for the people of Alaska.
Okay.
I am going to be more like a lame moose. Who just bears down and just hits you with those big old antlers of his and just knocks you backwards until you're going forwards again.
What?
Governor, I lost that one too. You love to quote famous people.
I
subscribe
do.
To your Twitter feed, and you're quoting Plato. Your press conference the other day, you said it was a General MacArthur quote. Turns out to be a completely different general who said this. And I want you to expand upon this thought a little bit.
Take the words of General MacArthur. He said, "We are not retreating. We are advancing in another direction."
So you're not quitting? You're just going in a different direction?
That's right. I am doing the job more by not doing it than I would have if I stayed in there and actually finished doing the job.
I don't think that's possible.
Absolutely. I am just backwards doing the job so much that I go around the job and come in through the front door again and finish it.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, for God's sakes, you just want politics as usual with the lame duck spending and all of the trips that they take. Well, I just won't do it because I am not a quitter.
But you quit, though.
You quit. Trips?
You just
but you quit. Wait, I know you say you're not a quitter, but you said that in the speech where you quit.
Listen, only dead fish go with the flow. And I am a live fish, and I go backwards. I'm the only fish swimming backwards in the stream. And that means when I spawn, that worm won't catch me on the hook. Forward.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, that's politics as usual.
No, I'm saying
you would like me just to swim forward and bite that hook and eat that worm. Well, no, sir. I will not do that because I know that there are many sturgeon, but only one rock.
I don't know what that means.
Wait, I thought you were a moose. I'm really lost now.
Oh, golly gosh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? Well, I'm a renegade. I'm a moose fish. You don't see many of us.
What?
We come once.
There is no such thing.
We come only once in a while, but when you see a moose fish, gosh darn it, you know he's on your line.
All right. Well, thank God we got the governor on the phone. Finally,
you know,
our questions have been answered.
Basketball. Okay, let's say a moose is playing basketball, and he's
right.
The power forward.
Okay.
And the moose goes up to make the basket, but he can't because he can't jump. He's got a very short vertical leap.
Right.
So what
the
he has to do
all.
Is
right.
kick out the pass. And he kicks it out to the point guard or one of the other players, whatever they may be.
Right.
Probably a black fella.
Okay. Come on.
And then they shoot the ball.
Right.
So you don't have to be the one to shoot the ball, especially if you're the moose.
Okay, so.
Right, just be part of the team is what you've been saying, right?
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Well, you said, I'll just say what you said. Be
That's
part of the team, you said.
As usual, and I won't play that game.
Okay.
I'm
All
no
right,
quitter.
I think we've established that.
I am stopping this interview right now, and I'm no quitter.
Okay, but you're quitting now. Now you're hanging up on us then.
Oh,
you're
you'd like that, wouldn't you?
What are you talking about?
Hey, Ralph Garman. How you doing, man?
I'm okay, considering we are sort of in the doldrums. We are in the low tide of sports.
Yeah.
Right now. This is the hardest part of the year when nothing in sports is going on.
Well, we understand.
Except the best sport of all, baseball.
Yeah, we understand that baseball's super popular, but if you don't like baseball, you are out now.
Are they still playing baseball? People are still playing baseball?
Are
the Dodgers still scoring 11 runs a game? Yes. That's
it. I didn't even realize that baseball was still even
the
in
World
operation.
The World Series isn't until a year from October.
I thought they shut that down.
No.
Ralph, the All-Star game is Tuesday, so we're halfway through the season as of the end of this week.
This is what I'm talking about. When the baseball All-Star game is the highlight of the sports calendar, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
However, baseball does play a role in the movie news today. Steven Soderbergh was supposed to be directing a movie called Moneyball, which is a very popular book based on the inner workings of Major League Baseball.
It's fascinating.
Did you read that book?
Yeah. Well, not all of it.
What a surprise.
I read a bunch of it, but not all of it.
Anyway, he's out.
A terrible idea for a movie, though, right?
Steven Soderbergh is out as writer and director of that
film. Oh, he stopped?
Film. He's out.
Aww.
Aaron Sorkin.
Ooh.
Creator of The West Wing has stepped in, and he will be writing and directing the film.
Well, that's promising.
All that's right. Great, too.
I don't know much about the book. I have not read it because it's about baseball. But if I understand, it's about the Oakland A's, their general manager, and how he ran that team, right?
Yeah, he runs a profitable team with a low payroll. That's the whole purpose of the book, is he figured out a way to evaluate players beyond what other teams were doing. And, it's interesting, and if I'm running a baseball team, I want to read the book. I don't want to see it made into a movie, though. I don't understand how there is a film there.
Aren't there hilarious anecdotes about wacky baseball
players?
No, not
really.
Like Jim Boughton's foul ball or foul play or four ball or knuckleball,
yeah,
whatever the hell.
That's the direction they want to go. That's not what the Moneyball book was about, though.
Anyway, Brad Pitt has signed on to play Billy Bean, the general manager of the Oakland A's.
Okay. Well.
And then he gets younger as the season goes on.
Really?
That's what I understand.
Yeah. Can't figure it out.
Sorkin, by the way, has just finished another screenplay called The Social Network, which is Facebook, the movie.
Okay.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Is it a horror? Or, I mean, is there an angle? Or is it just people
someone,
checking they're getting on Facebook?
Someone saying, Ralph Garman is feeling happy today. A lot of that kind of stuff.
Hey, we should write on his wall. Okay, let's go. Sign the wall. Come on, everyone. That doesn't sound good.
Movie news that I can relate to. Hollywood Reporter today says Warner Brothers has narrowed it down to three actors who have the possibility of becoming the Green Lantern in the movie version of the very popular comic book.
And this is a made-up superhero that only Ralph and his friends have ever heard
this
of.
This is a classic, hugely popular superhero who is being made into a major motion picture.
Yeah,
that will
care.
Be released in December 2010. Hollywood Reporter says three actors are fighting for the role of the Green Lantern, and of course his alter ego, test pilot Hal Jordan.
You don't have to tell us that.
You don't meet enough guys named Hal anymore. That's a great name.
Hey, Hal. Hal. How are you, Hal? Hey, Hal. You want a good beer? Beer. Hal.
Hal Fishman is the only one I can think of.
All right.
Bradley Cooper.
Love.
Who is just smoking hot right now from that Hangover movie. Just a huge, huge movie star overnight. Ryan Reynolds.
Nope.
Yeah. Ooh, you got to be happy about that.
Nope.com and Justin Timberlake. It just gets worse, people.
Isn't he a decent actor? Hasn't he acted in a film?
But he hasn't carried a film.
Okay.
And he's so slight.
Yeah.
He is so flimsy.
Yeah.
This guy's got to be a man. It's a test pilot.
Sorry,
Air Force test
about,
pilot. Man.
I don't know anything about the Green Lantern.
Manly man.
That world.
Man.
The problem is that Ralph met John Hamm, and now no one else is manly enough for him.
John Hamm would be a great Green Lantern. Why didn't I think of that?
I'm sure you did.
I did. There's a guy on YouTube who has made his own, you know, fans make these trailers.
Right.
Trailers for movies that don't exist. He made a Green Lantern movie trailer.
No kidding.
And he took scenes, various scenes from an actor named Nathan Fillion, who was in Firefly, Oh, sure. Currently plays actor, Castle on that show on ABC.
Oh, yeah.
And cut a lot of his stuff out from his movies and put pieced it together so he is the Green Lantern in the trailer. And it really is excellently done.
No kidding.
So maybe he's got a shout out.
Hey, Ralph, again, a dumb question because I'm unfamiliar with the character, but does the Green Lantern have a weakness? What's his kryptonite?
Oh, you know what? He's got the magic power ring, right, that the Guardians of the Universe gave him along with the power battery that he draws his energy from and can use that power ring to manifest anything that he can come up with in his mind through sheer willpower.
Wow, lucky him.
Why is he a lantern?
Because he's the Green Lantern. The Green Lantern Corps is a corps of intergalactic policemen whose job it is to keep order in the universe.
And Kevin.
They carry lanterns around?
The lantern is the power battery that they charge the ring up, and then when they've got the ring charged, they can use the ring for 24 hours.
So what if someone took their battery?
Then they'd be screwed, because that's where they get their power from.
So you have to tell you.
But luckily, the battery is able to become invisible. So you can hide it someplace, and then you only know where it is, and no one will stumble across and go, oh, that's a Green Lantern, I'm going to take that. They won't see it because it's invisible.
Stroke of luck.
However, the only flaw in the Green Lantern is
it's going to be made into a movie?
Is that it's powerless against the color yellow.
What?
Oh, come on.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you can't use your power ring on anything yellow an impurity in the ring itself. It does not respond to the light spectrum of the color yellow.
Are you listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth?
Trust me, it all makes sense.
So he cannot fight crime at all in Asia, right? I mean, if there's a problem in China,
really?
He can't even go there, right?
Really?
I'm just asking. I'm trying to understand how
it
works.
I got a little pamphlet I'd like you to read, Bean. It's called Words Can Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need
Mike,
to know.
Mike, put that in the file.
I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah, put that in the file. So when we're in court, I can be... Can be read back.
Absolved.
Mr. Garman did not agree with that
statement.
What
if you pee on the lantern?
Listen.
Good question. That's a good question.
That's legit.
I'm just saying, if you were like dressed in a yellow costume or something and I wanted to use my power ring on you, I wouldn't be able to do it because the ring is not useful against anything yellow.
So, that seems like a pretty easy end around.
I can do is I can like make it a giant steam shovel with my ring with my mind and then like dig up the earth and then dump it on top of you and catch you that way. I just cannot deal with you directly because you're wearing the color
that
yellow.
That is retarded.
It's an impurity in the ring.
No, it's stupidity.
You know what it actually is Parallax is a creature that lives inside the main power battery on the planet Oa. And he embodies all things that are fearful. And the opposite of strong willpower is fear. And that's why the color yellow has it.
If we talk about this
ring.
For another 10 seconds, I'm going to punch you right in the balls.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Okay, good.
Peter DiStefano, Porno for Pyros, is 44 years old today. Adrian Grenier from Entourage is 33. Thomas Ian Nichols from American Pie turns 29. Also, Jessica Simpson celebrates her 29th birthday today. Heard she's going to go to Tony Romo's and get some ribs.
Oh, silly.
What? What's that? Huh? What'd you say? Oh, Tony Roma.
Yeah.
My bad. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.